Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
we're back. This is Boxing Scene's official radio show, Leave It in the Ring. I'm waiting for my other co-hosts to log on. We're waiting for Ernesto Gavillon and Gabriel Montoya and Justin Streichhart. We had some good fights this past Saturday. Timothy Bradley, you know, won a unanimous decision over Luis Carlos Abaragum in his first welterweight belt. Scores of 118, 110, 116, 112, and 117, 111. Pretty much gave him a clinic. I don't know what everybody else was thinking, but it looked like, you know, I don't know. Timothy, to me, I'm not really sure whether or not he's in his prime. But if he's not, it's going to be pretty scary for anybody else that's just going to wait around and wait for him to get in his prime. Right now, there are some flaws that Timothy does. You know, one is that, you know, being at 5'6", he can get low. But sometimes getting low can get you in trouble. You can get stuck in the mud. It gives you enough time to take a step back and counter because that means that Timothy's feet are planted well against the canvas. It's going to work for some guys, but it's not going to work for all the guys at 140 and 147 division, especially for a guy that's tall like Devon Alexander, who's got good footwork, who's got, you know, is pretty mobile with his feet. It's something that he's got to really look at. That's what makes him exciting, the Desert Storm. You know, right now that the Desert Storm is doing everything he needs to do to climb the top of the ladder, you got to wonder, does anybody else at 140 or 147 really want to mix it up with this kid? You know, who should be next on Mid Bradley? Last day, we all stood up till midnight to hear Bob Arum announce what happened with Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. We made a vow we're never going to talk about it again. And matter of fact, we're never going to say their names together. It's going to be called the X and Y fight. The X and Y fight. Or, you know, the fight. I'd rather call it the fight. Just because of the fact that, you know, I don't know. I don't think as a fight fan, as a hardcore fight fan, and a guy that contributes to the sport by putting money into the sport, meaning that I pay for pay-per-views or, you know, I go watch it live or whatever the case is. Buy memorabilia, buy cassettes, and yeah, I said VHS cassettes. I still stick to the VHS cassettes or, you know, the DVDs or whatever the case is, I contribute. So I'm a paying fan. So, you know, when you blatantly disrespect the sport by saying, well, you know, I'm not thinking about it at the moment. What are you talking about? You're not thinking about it. The whole world is waiting for you. We want to know what's going to happen, Floyd. I mean, X. Mr. Y is waiting for to find out, you know. I know there's a bunch of tweets out there saying that Mr. X is out there in Puerto Rico, you know, enjoying vacation. While the rest of us were waiting at midnight to find out what Bob Arum basically had to say was the fight was not going to happen. And there's a possible showdown with Antonio Margarito happening in Monterrey, Mexico. Fight fans really are not too excited about that, kind of upset, because he's keeping it in-house. But hey, if you're Bob Arum, why not? Keep the money in the pot. I know he did say that, you know, who is Timothy Bradley, but let's not forget, you had Timothy Bradley on the poll of your website. So the guys, the technical guys that are behind the scenes, they're basically, they know who Timothy Bradley is. You know? The same could be said about Joshua Calati. Who's Joshua Calati? Well, Joshua Calati is a guy that was in your banner, in your camp, your stable. So, of course, you made that fight. But that was the major outcry against most fighters when, you know, Joshua Calati at the time was labeled the most feared guy in the boxing biz, that who is he? He doesn't have a strong following. Same thing could be said about Timothy Bradley. 2,000 fans came out to cheer him on the HBO After Dark. But Timothy Bradley is definitely a contender, a guy that can really honestly is a solid guy. Not the best, like, you know, Max Kellerman said, not the fastest guy in the world, But all around, he's a good, good contender. Does things well in everything that he applies himself to. He's a very determined fighter. He's a fighter that's definitely will put fits to anybody that steps into the ring with him. And that's something that has been lacking in the boxing world, is a contender. I know some fight fans are not too pleased or excited about Timothy Bradley, but I'm excited about the Desert Storm. He's a throwback fighter, in my opinion. Yeah, did he avoid the Devon Alexander? But, you know, all things got to make sense. And maybe just right now, being a fight fan, of course I want to see it happen. I want to see all the fights in the world happen all in 1 month, all on one card. But that's in a perfect world in boxing. It doesn't happen like that. These promoters got to make their money. So, you know what? I'll wait for the Devon Alexander fight. I think the kid has got skills, but I still think he needs to prove himself. The whole Yarango fight and even the Witter fight, I'm not completely sold on it. What's up with the man? Hey, what's up, man? Why did the Twitter login change? It didn't change. Same passcode, Dave. Just the name. Now it's all capital letters, LiitrBioXing. If you guys are not following us on Twitter, you can go ahead and do that. It's leave it in a ring, you know, break it all down, capital L, capital IITR, and then boxing, all in capital letters. So please do follow us on there because we do round by rounds when the fights are happening. I'm not sure if we're going to do it today because Golden Boy is having one at Club Nokia. But we're definitely going to try. My other co-hosts are having a problem get into the conversation at the moment, but hey, no problem. We'll wait for them. A lot of things that happen in boxing. We got a couple great guests coming through. We got Robert the Ghost Guerrero, who's got his fight coming up on the 31st against Joao Casamayor, El Cepillo. You know, and then after him, we got El Cepillo calling in. Going to tell us whether or not he's going to ghost Robert out of the ring, or is Robert the Ghost Guerrero going to Cepillo come out the veteran fighter who at one time Robert got in. He was a sparring partner for Casamayor when Casamayor was, I believe it was when he was preparing against the late great Diego Corrales. I got to find out who refreshed my memory and stuff and find out whether or not that was the case. But I do know that he did at one time step in the ring with, you know, Casamayor. Okay. I know I got Gabriel. You there, brother?
I am indeed. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm just letting know the fight fans who's going to be on. Then right after Casamayor, man, we got our newly added, you know, addition to Leaving the Ring, Felipe Leon from Fight News and SD Fights San Diego, a guy that's basically in the Tijuana and San Diego scene. He's going to be calling in and giving us some breakdowns on what's happening over there in Tijuana and San Diego. So that should be pretty good. So that's going to be around, you know, 6:10, 6:15 when we get into the news. So right now we're basically waiting for Robert the Ghost Guerrero to call in. Chop it up with really quick. It'll probably be about 7 or 10 minute interview because he's got to go on Comcast. He's got a TV interview to do there. So he's, you know, really honestly squeezing us into his time. Then after that, around 6:30, we're going to have Andre Bertel, the undefeated welterweight. A guy right now, really honestly, that needs an opponent out there. He's even Twittering it on his Twitter, asking the fight fans, who should I fight next? I know that my co-host, Gabriel, he's salivating. He's been wanting to ask him. He's been wanting to, you know, drill him a little bit. Hey, you know, I want to thank everybody that sent me some great emails, man, for our past Friday show. I'm really pleased that a lot of people enjoyed us, you know, waiting up late at night just to show how hardcore of a fight fan we are, or how much of a life that we don't have, that we stayed up till midnight here with Bob Arum that was going to obviously say to us. And it's just really good to see that a lot of you guys were appreciating that we're up late with you guys on Twitter and on the live on air and airing out the rant that we had. The fight that we're no longer going to mention. We're not giving them the respect of calling out their names put together. So it is called the X and Y by Gabriel Montoya, and I'm calling it the fight. So if you want to email any of us, be sure to say, hey, so what do you think about the fight? Or if you're going to email Gabriel, say X and Y fight, that's going to be the more logic choice. Because I know what you're talking about, because I won't respond if you say their names, man. because I'm not in Puerto Rico on vacation. You know,
I've pretty much been emailing people back that have been writing in for the mailbag. You know, I have no interest in discussing this fight any further. It's not going to happen. Let's just let it go. You know, I don't want to get all Kanye West, but Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather don't care about boxing fans. And that's pretty much the way it goes. You know, I just I don't see why we need to get excited about these guys right now. I mean, Pacquiao's now talking about a catchweight fight for Margarito between 147 and 150, but they're going to fight for a vacant WBC belt. I mean, you know, just it's like these guys are a giant bird and boxing fans are walking on the sidewalk and we just got hit with a big unexpected dump. That's how I look at it.
I don't even know how to defend it anymore. I don't even know. I don't know, man. I guess, you know, to me, it's finally has popped its bubble, its last bubble, that I don't even care for it anymore, to tell you the truth. Until they step into the ring, and until they, you know, basically that's it. Until they step into that ring, then, you know, okay. But as of now, I don't even care about it, you know. El Perro Angulo, who we've had several times on Leave It in the Ring, had a sensational KO over Aselin. You know, it was in the first round at the 2:59 mark in the first round. Very impressive, man, I got to say. But, you know, before I even get into that, let me bring in our first guest, Robert the Ghost Guerrero out of Gilroy, the Barry, a boy, taking out everybody that's being put in front of him. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
All right. How's it going?
Good, man. I see you're all over the place right now, Vato.
Oh, yeah, I'm everywhere. I'm up here in San Francisco right now. I'm going to do the Chronicle on Comcast. So, you know, I'm running around everywhere. But, you know, it comes with the territory. You got to make it happen.
Definitely got to make it happen, you know. Robert, before I ask you any questions, because I know you got to go. We're only going to have you on for a few minutes, man. Hey, tell me a little bit about this mobile site that you got going on here.
Yeah, you could text the word GHOST to 35620. And it'll go straight to Robert the Ghost Guerrero mobile site. You could.
Oh, what are you doing? What was that, Robert? I'm sorry.
You can get that on there. I mean, there's just so much stuff on there, tickets and, you know, all the updates about the Ghost. I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's cool. It's been one of the new things coming out, and, I mean, it's going to be good for boxing.
Hey, really quick, say it again, brother, because my producer unfortunately clicked mute on you by accident. He thought you were a guest call. He thought you were somebody else calling in.
I got ghost there for a minute.
He got ghost out there for a moment, brother. So basically, yeah. We text in the word ghost to 35620, and it goes to a mobile site, and then they can be updated of the things that you're doing, like, hey, when you go into training camp or when you are in training camp or when you have a press conference. Is that how it works?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the information, where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing, you know, fights coming up, how to get tickets. I mean, pretty much everything on my career, you could get on there and the trailer for the documentary that they're doing on me and my family. You could check that out, the trailer on that. I mean, it's going to be awesome. So, you know, the mobile site, it's pretty tight.
Now, what that documentary, I'm really looking forward to watching that. When is the original release date for it, or has that even been set?
No, they haven't set that yet. It's still getting all put together. So, you know, they got a bunch of film on me and, you know, interviews with my family and, you know, a lot of people that are close to me. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, it goes into depth where, I mean, you know, it really gets into it, how, you know, a fighter lives his life, how, you know, leading up to fights, you know, the problems at home, you know, what, you know, how basically, you know, the daily life of a professional fighter. So, I mean, it's going to be cool.
You know, Robert, really, I want to get now in really quick with the Casa Mayor. Now, can you refresh my memory on what fight was it that you were being used as a sparring partner for Casa Mayor back in the days?
I actually was being used for a sparring partner to get ready for Casa Mayor, and that was with Diego Corrales in the second fight. So, you know, being in there with Diego Corrales getting ready for Joel Casimiro, that's how it went.
Oh, okay. So I had it the other way around and stuff. I thought you were in with Casamayor. Now, Robert, you know, Casamayor is one of those tricky lefty guys, you know, a veteran in the sport, a guy really honestly that can make you look terrible, you know, can box backwards. What concerns are leading into this fight?
I mean, you know, the main concern is, you know, just going out there and getting busy, doing what you got to do, you know, putting the game plan we put together and putting it to work. You know, Casamayor, he's a crafty guy, and, you know, he is smooth, like you said. He makes you look bad, and, you know, you just got to go out there and, you know, look the best you can with him. But, you know, for sure we're gunning for that victory and to get him out of there. So, I mean, you know, we put together a pretty good game plan for him.
Gabriel, you got a question?
I do. With Casamayor, you know, he's getting kind of older and everything, and he's a very technical fighter, but he's always been something of a kind of a rough and tumble kind of guy, headbutts or, you know, all the, what they call veteran tricks, you know, like Hopkins hitting on the hip and all that. Does it concern you that being where he's at in his age, he's not going to have the same kind of output in terms of punches, but he'll still be able to do all those things like moving away, tying up. Are you preparing for a rough kind of fight like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're expecting that from Casamayor. And, you know, the older he gets, you know, the more he got to pull out the tricks. You know, that's where all that experience comes into play, and he got to put it all to work against a guy like me. So, you know, we're expecting him to come out and use the head, use the elbows, and you know, low blows and the hip punches and, you know, the tying up. So you know, we prepared for all that, and, you know, that's one of the things we know that he's going to pull out. I mean, he's going to pull out all the stops and all the tricks in the book.
He's only been stopped, I believe, once, if I'm correct, against Marquez. That's a fight that you are really, I know you really want, is a fight against Juan Manuel Marquez. Do you think you got to stop Casamayor, kind of equal what he's doing, in order to kind of make that kind of statement?
You know, it'd be nice to get the stoppage, go out there. You know, that's always there is, you know, wanting to go out there and stop a guy. But, you know, if you go out there looking for it, you know, most of the time it don't happen. So, you know, we're going out to, you know, put up a good fight, go out there and make it happen, do what we got to do and get the victory. So, you know, styles make fights, you know, two lefties is pretty tricky. And, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of people are going to look at is how Guerrero is going to fight against another lefty. So, you know, I hopefully it raised some eyebrows for Pacquiao.
Robert, you know, you've had some history of your eyes cutting open. Now, does that bring in a new cut man's corner, seeing that, you know, Casamayor has had a habit of putting his head in there? Does that raise any concern? And does that make you guys maybe want to put a little more pressure in the beginning to try to get him out of there to see whether or not the oil and the wheels are still working?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Casamayor being up there in age, you know, you got to bang the body. You bang the body, you slow the veteran down. And, you know, that's what kind of fight you need to fight Casamayor is you can't just go for the head because, I mean, he is slick and smooth and, you know, you got to mix it up. You got to break him down and you know, go from there. So, you know, he is going to use the head and all that. And you know, I'm predicting he's going to try to rough me up being a young fighter and being cut before and all the controversies that come with it. So, you know, I think he's going to try to be that rough and rugged guy.
You know, Robert, man, it's always a pleasure, brother, when we get you on. I'm definitely always, you know, like always, I'm always rooting for you. So hopefully you're successful. I'm hoping you're going to be. I think you're going to be successful, Rob. You know, so again, if you want to text the Ghost, put in the word Ghost to 35620 and automatically take you to a mobile phone. Or you can get them at and Twitter at Team Guerrero. That's all capital letters, Team Guerrero. And, you know, you're able to be updated on what Robert the Ghost Guerrero is doing next. You know, and like I said, wish you all the best, brother.
Hey, thank you.
Well, there you go. Robert the Ghost Guerrero, who's got to go. He's got a Comcast interview. So we had to make it really short. But no fear, man. We got Casamayor to come through a little bit and should have him on a little longer.
You know what I hope is that he makes that fight as short as his visit. He just nothing against Casamayor. He's a good guy. But I think, you know, Robert is a guy that needs that breakthrough. You know, he's had a few stop and starts with his career, you know, and rightly so. You know, and he had to take care of his family. That's most important. You know, that he had that early loss in his career. He had the belt, then he lost it, then he got it back. Robert's one of those guys that he's always an action fighter. He's, you know, I don't think I've ever really seen a fight where I'm like, this isn't a good fight. I don't think ever. And he's a good story and an exciting guy that's willing to face anybody. So I hope, you know, that he gets the statement out of this fight that he's looking for, you know?
I hope so too, you know, because it's definitely, like you said, it's needed because of his storyline, but it's also needed because it is from the Bay Area, you know, and we want, being from that, I'm from San Jose, and Gilroy is only about 20 minutes out or so. The Bay Area has been waiting for a boxing champion, you know, not necessarily an MMA champion, but definitely a boxing champion. So it would just bring a lot of good to the Bay Area. That's basically what I'm trying to say. It'll bring a lot of good to the Bay Area to see Robert just, you know, excel to where the potential that I think a lot of us believe that he has, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, in the Bay Area, particularly Oakland right now, with Andre Ward, it's becoming yet another venue for fight fans to go to, you know, the Oracle Arena. You know, Andre's selling out more and more there. And, you know, so I think it's incumbent on a guy like Robert, who has a following up there, to get some big wins. And maybe, you know, we can start getting some cross promotion. Maybe I know that, you know, Goosen and him, they had some issues and everything. But at some point, you know, a lot of these guys have to sit back and say, this is boxing. Guys go where they feel they can get the best dates and the best fights. But at the same time, you know, maybe they should work together and you know, they can get 15,000 people into the Oracle or fill it to capacity with a guy like Robert, a guy like Andre Ward, you know, and really, really kind of build that venue. And really, it's about boxing. It isn't about the promoters. It isn't about the managers or the networks. It's about the, you know, doing what's best for the sport of boxing. So,
doing what's best for the sport of boxing, and that's definitely something. If you're a fight fan, find out the email of X and Y and send it out to them. Not just blame one, blame them both. Blame the promoters. Blame everybody that's behind all that. You know, not making the fight that was supposed to happen, that it was supposed to be one of the biggest fights in history. A lot of fight fans were anticipating. A lot of fight fans are still arguing about it. I see a lot of people still going, oh, this guy's afraid of this guy, and this guy's afraid of that guy. But there's a lot of fights to be made in boxing, man. There's just not just the air fight. You got, you know, El Perro, where Gary Shaw's already trying to maybe, you know, milk in Sergio Martinez, the unified middleweight champion that had his defeat over Pavlik, making him the it factor, you know, saying that, hey, I'll let my dog off the leash so that he can sick. You know, the Argentinian fighter, Sergio Martinez, definitely a fight that he can look for. But, hey, you also got another guy at 154, a freak of nature, guy that's 6'2", almost 6'3", Paul the Punisher Williams, once at one time labeled the most avoided fighter out there. That's another fight, intriguing fight. A lot of fights coming up, Gabriel. I mean, there are a lot of things out there for fight fans really to clap their hands and open up another beer and down about five or six of them to be excited about.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I was covering the fights, you know, with the Bradley and Angulo live on HBO in Palm Springs. And on Twitter, after Angulo scored his big win over Alcine, Lou DiBella goes on his Twitter and offers up Martinez at 155-pound catch weight to take on Angulo for the middleweight title. Now, normally people complain about the catch weights. They say, you know, like Pacquiao against Cotto, Pacquiao was going for the belt, yet he asked for a catch weight. But this is a little different. This is the champion saying, look, I'll make the concession. I need a fight. You need a fight. Let's do this thing. And Angulo was almost the mandatory to Martinez had he beaten Kermit Cintron. Now, Gary Shaw at the press conference turned down the catch weight. But it seems like now they're talking about a fight at 154. But the thing is, HBO wants Paul Williams versus Sergio Martinez part two at 154 pounds.
Hey, that's a fight to make.
But yet another problem. Dan Goosen, who I spoke to this week, wants Paul Williams to come down to 147 and challenge Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao.
For what? You ain't going to get that fight.
It's a pipe dream. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, you know, if in a perfect boxing world, we would get those fights, but you know, at the same time, I threw at him, and I'm going to ask Andre about it. You know, what about Andre Berto? Nobody ever talks about that guy. And I think Paul and Andre are about the same kind of draw, which isn't big draws in terms of gate. They do very well on HBO because of their association with Al Heyman. But they're not big-time draws. You wouldn't say, oh, well, Paul Williams in this venue, that's a sure seller. You wouldn't say that about, you know, Andre Berto either, you know. And yet they're on HBO. But they can't fight each other. And they can't fight Floyd. They can't fight Danny Jacobs. They can't fight Fernando Guerrero because all of those guys are managed or advised by Al Heyman.
Right.
It's kind of the league that nobody talks about.
Well, it's kind of the league that nobody talks about, and it's also kind of the league that's not doing exactly what Bob Arum does. You know, the funny thing is, if you don't do this, you don't do that, you're the bad guy. Bob Arum is keeping everything in-house, where Al Heyman is like, no, I'm not going to have my guys fight in-house. I'm going to have them fight other houses. But unfortunately, sometimes there's good fights in the house. And having Paul Williams and Andre Berto, even Floyd Mayweather, you know, those are good fights in-house. Those are fights that should happen. But really, honestly, like you said, the pipe dream of Paul Williams coming down to 147, get over it already.
Well, it's funny, too. Everybody's saying, well, Golden Boy only fights Golden Boy fighters, and Top Rank only fights, you know, Top Rank fighters. But here's the other flip side of that. Al Heyman fighters never fight Al Heyman fighters. And that, to me, considering the cream of the crop that he has, and that they're not being matched or, you know, ever talking about fighting each other, that you know, is yet one of many things that hurts boxing. You know, it's about, and the way it used to be about, was the best fights available happen. And, you know, they don't always happen. I'm actually working on a story on why, you know, Riddick Bowe and Tyson and Lewis didn't end up fighting each other. And it was a simple thing of, like we're seeing now, you know, positioning. You know, one dude wants more money or they don't want the fight right now. They think the other guy's too dangerous. But the bottom line is that when these big super fights, which I don't believe one fight can save boxing, you know, I don't think Manny versus Floyd saves boxing. Fighter X versus Fighter Y does not save boxing, but, you know, we can live on. We never got Tyson versus Bo. We didn't get Tyson versus Lewis in their primes, and yet boxing carried on. But I think the key here is for us to focus in on the fights we do get, raise them up, and watch them. You know, pay for them, go see them, support them as much as you can, because as long as we're waiting for the big, you know, golden payday or the one fight to end all fights, we're going to be stuck exactly where we're at.
You know, there are a lot of great fights that are out there to be materialized, not just the fight, you know. There's a lot of other fights out there. Look, we got Ernesto Gavillon. Welcome, brother. I'm glad that you were able to put down the cervezas and the trunks and the gloves away and join leave it in the ring. I tell you what. You got great contenders out there. Timothy Bradley right now just called out. I mean, after his fight, he looked into the camera. Man, the first time I ever seen Timothy really get, you know, he had like that novella, you know, that soap opera look. You know, like, I'm calling out Floyd Mayweather. No, actually, he said Manny Pacquiao. He didn't even call Floyd, but he
and
said
then
Manny Pacquiao.
The background music play, dun, dun, dun.
And, but you, the beginning of the music was classic, you know, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Suddenly he had feathered hair, and it was kind of part of the deal. He was wearing, like, mirrored shades, like Eric Estrada. It was awesome.
The fact that he had that little, you know, like that little cringe look and stuff with that separated mustache that he has. He goes, I want Manny Pacquiao, you know. And then he looks at Max Kellerman and goes, oh, and you're great too, Max. Classic Timothy Bradley, man. You know, if you want to call in 347-215-7598, I believe we got our next guest on the line, Joel Casamayor. Are you there, brother?
Yeah, we're here.
All right, I got Luis, De Cuba's translating for us. So, first off, how's training camp going for you, Joel?
Se pide como el campamento.
No, todo está bien. Estamos listos para pelear. Tenemos un buen campamento. Estamos tranquilos y serenos para pelear.
He's in. I feel great, 100% for the fight. We're training 100% good, and everything's good. We're ready to go.
Happy.
You know. Cepillo, you know, right now everybody's, not everybody, but most of the fight fans are looking at you as he may be done. He may be old. What are your thoughts about that? Does this give you more of a motivation? Does it take you back to the Olympic days of having that determination of proving the public wrong?
Siempre dice que mucha la gente están diciendo que puede ser que tú estás un poco viejo ya. Esto te da más motivación a echar para adelante, como los días en la Olimpiada y todo eso, a echar para adelante y hacer ni a la gente.
Bueno, a mí no importa lo que diga la gente, pobre vale, no importa, yo estoy bien, tolito, y yo sé quién soy yo, y yo se lo mostré a la gente el 31 de julio, que si estoy vivo o no vivo. A mí no importa lo que diga la gente. Yo soy de mí, y me siento bien, y foca la gente, no importa la gente. Yo voy a ser entrado el 31, y lo va a ver todo el mundo.
He said, I'm going to do my job on July 31st. Whoever buys the pay-per-view is going to see I'm not old. I mean, I really don't care what people got to say too much on that subject. You know, that's their opinion. And other people have their own opinion. But I believe, you know, I'm still fresh. And everyone will see July 31st if you tune in to HBO pay-per-view.
Louis, it's Ernie from Boxing Scene. How's it going?
Ernie, how's it going, brother?
Same old, man. Hey, question. Does Sapio feel that he's fresher simply because he hasn't, you know, had the wear and tear of being in fights constantly? He's only had one fight since the Marquez fight, and that was against Jason Davis. Small fight in Las Vegas. Does he feel that the rest was much needed, or was he just waiting his time to find the right opponent?
Sabio, él dice que nada más peleaba una vez en el último año. ¿Tú piensas que eso era bien bueno para el cuerpo tuyo? ¿Cogió el descanso bien del cuerpo
sí.
tuyo, eso te ayuda mucho?
Sí, eso me dio un poco de descanso y me lo van a ver de pesar el cuerpo mío. Y me dieron a empezar el cuerpo, me veo bien el descanso. Ya que estoy ready para pelear, me siento fuerte, tengo hambre y vengo a mostrar fuerte. Vengo a mostrar a pelear con los campeones, con los mejores.
It's 100%. I mean, I definitely think that's what I needed was a little rest. You know, sometimes in a 14-year career, sometimes you need these periods where you rest between fights. And he definitely needed, and he thinks he feels a lot stronger. You guys will see the day of the
weigh-in.
He said you're going to see the day of the weigh-in, you're going to see how strong he looks. His body hasn't looked like this in a couple of years. He feels real, real strong. And and he says he's got to go get his food. He's got to go get his food. And basically he's going to do that on July 31st. Robert Girl's going to have to be his food.
this is at 138, right? It's contracted for 138?
Max 139.
139.
Give or take a pocket.
Does he feel more inclined to move up to 140, or after this fight does he see maybe a return trip to 135?
I mean, I can answer that. I mean, depending on the fight, basically, he could fight. He could still make 135 pounds, or he could make 140, depending on who he wants. I mean, I know one guy he has been talking about a lot is Marquez, and if he has to make 135 for the rematch, he will make 135, but he feels real strong at 140.
This is Gabe Montoya from Max Boxing. How are you today, gentlemen?
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Good, man. I'm curious, you know, with that last fight being, you know, so long ago, and it was a welterweight fight, I believe. Was there any concern in getting down into weight? So, like, you know, did he have a long training camp to slowly move down in weight?
Dice que la última pelea era en noviembre, ha cogido mucho tiempo en el campamento para ir bajando bien, tranquilo y en campamento.
Ya, estamos tranquilos bajando, ya casi estamos en el peso, no tengo problema, lo que está jugando en vacaciones, con mis hijos, tranquilo, y jugando mis vacaciones, chilling, tranquilo.
I mean, he basically said that, you know, the we've had about 4 months of training camp, him coming down the weight and doing about 2 months of just straight conditioning and working on that weight down here, and basically he feels 100%. He feels great. I'll tell you one thing, sometimes the rest does a little better from the body than putting that body through that physical war of a training camp and hard sparring. But I mean, we have been training for about 4 months, and he's been working on that weight, the work the right way.
Do you think experience is going to be the biggest difference in this fight, or is it going to be overall skill?
I think he's going to have a little bit of experience and skills. I mean, I think that's one thing you cannot give. You cannot get in the gym, you know, and you can't get in the physical training is experience. That's something that no one has. Sabio.
Mm-hmm.
La pregunta es, ¿tú crees que la experiencia va a ser algo bien, va a ser la cosa más importante de esta pelea o qué tú crees?
Yo creo que va a ser la experiencia, la maldad, vengo con hambre, todo. No tiene un chance conmigo, tiene. Voy a sacar todo mi hierro. A ver, contar a la gente que todavía se pide para rato. Yo vengo con todo.
He's bringing out all the tools. It's going to be experience. It's going to be skills. He's going to be tricky. He's going to be in the ring.
Vengo con mucha maldad para él.
Yeah, he comes with a lot of tricks. And basically, he's in a rough house. If Robert thinks he's not going to get roughed up, he's going to get roughed up on the inside also. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a boxing game. It's going to be an inside game. It's going to be just all overall display of boxing skills.
You know, what is it about Robert the Ghost Guerrero that he's honestly looking at? I mean, Robert's a guy that we've seen pressure, but then late we've seen him, you know, box. Go back to his traditional amateur style, which is box. What is it about Robert that he sees that he could just take complete advantage of instead of just the experience-wise?
Sabio, afuera la experiencia que tú creas el... que tú ves Robert Guerrero, que tú ves con esa misma cosa lo va a matar, como él entra de loco, o qué tú piensas.
¿Cómo?
La pregunta es, ¿qué tú ves de Robert Guerrero? De que tú puedes explorar, ¿me entiendes?
Yo creo que es un boxeador lento, un boxeador que viene con lo mismo, y un boxeador que no tiene habilidad, un boxeador no tiene habilidad, no tiene movimiento, un boxeador que viene todo el tiempo para adelante y parado, son fáciles para mí, ¿entiendes?
Yeah, he says, look, Robert Guerrero's a strong young kid, but I mean, he's very slow. He's not that mobile. His abilities are very limited, and he just thinks that first off is the speed.
Está joven, está fuerte, pero eso no enfoque.
He thinks it's the speed. On top of it, if he thinks of Robert Guerrero, just say, for 1 second, thinks he's going to come in crazy like he did before, he's going to get knocked out, that's for sure. So he better take his time a bit and box and think about what he's going to do twice.
Does he feel that Robert's the bigger puncher in this fight, or is he the bigger puncher? Because I've always felt that Sabio's power has been underrated a lot of times when stepping in the ring.
100%. Dice que el poder tuyo, mucha gente no cree que mucha gente da un crédito para el poder que tú tienes, que tú sí pegas. ¿Tú crees que tú eres pegador de esta pelea o guerrero?
No, se lo voy a mostrar. Yo se lo voy a mostrar a todo el mundo el 31 de julio.
He says the puncher, I'm the puncher here. I mean, he's more of a weight, I'm the puncher. I was the puncher at 130, I was the puncher at 35, and this kid's a 26-pounder. He's the puncher. He's going to show on 31st of July.
Sabio, you haven't had a long pro career. You started late in the game. How many more years do you think you can do this? It doesn't sound like, you know, from all indications, it doesn't seem like you're an old fighter, but at the same time, you're obviously not in the prime years. How long do you think you can make this last?
Sabio dice que va a tener una tremenda carrera. ¿Cuántas peleas más o cuántos años más quieres ir aquí para adelante?
Yo me siento bien. Yo quiero pelear un año más. Yo quiero que pelear con después de pelea primero dio todo sale bien y pelear con lo mejor en este peso, ¿entiendes? Creo que ahora más que me da revancha a mi can. Whatever, Juan Díaz, ¿entiendes? Para irme con título mundial y pedirme tranquilo, ¿entiendes?
Basically, look, he thinks he's got another year, 2 years. I mean, no to that. He's had a 14-year career in the boxing since 1996. He started when he was 26 years old when he got here. And basically, look, he wants to accomplish one more thing, and that's win a fifth world title in a third different weight class. And he feels very, very comfortable that he could do that. And when he wants to get through Guerrero and then obviously fight two big fights. And then go off into the sunset. But I mean, Juan Manuel Marquez would be one of those guys we want to go after, and he's the guy we want. We're looking out after this fight.
Just kind of a two-part question. Sabio, you've had a very long and illustrious career, both pro and amateur. One, is there anything you haven't seen in the ring? And two, if he could just break down what he sees in Robert Guerrero.
Dice que tú has tenido una carrera bien larga y abateo y todo. Una cosa que tú no has visto en el ring, que parece que tú has visto todo en el ring, todos los estilos, todas las cosas diferentes, y que tú crees del estilo de Robert Guerrero.
Mira, yo dile una cosa, que yo soy mucho que vengo de mucho, tengo mucho pelea a Mateo, y una cosa que yo sabía que antes de irme de boxeo, yo tenía que pelear con un zurdo, porque toda la pelea del entrenador mío han sido derecho, ¿entiendes? Y yo le peleo mejor a los zurdos que a los derechos, esa noche se lo vamos a traer, ¿entiendes? Porque tú me carreras a Mateo, yo pego mucho zurdo, ¿entiendes? Uh-huh. Y yo le encargo zurdo, ¿entiendes? Yo pego perfecto zurdo.
He says one thing that he hasn't seen in the professionals is he's fighting a southpaw, but he fought hundreds of them in the amateurs. And when you come up in the amateurs, most all the fighters are southpaw on that side. So basically, he wants to show the world that he fights southpaws better than he does right-handed. And it's going to be the first time he's fought a southpaw, and I believe Robert also. So I think it's going to be a great duel of southpaw.
Y zurdo complicado, zurdo europeo, ¿verdad? De estilo europeo que...
Yeah.
Que son virados,
he He says he fought a southpaw from the European styles and guys that are difficult and movers and slick
southpaws.
And he's basically saying, look, that the Robert's got a very stand-up style boxing. He's a southpaw, but he's not orthodox southpaw. It's a mover, a slick guy. Most southpaws, those are difficult ones. When you're a stand-up, straight-up guy like that, I mean, it's basically you're not using the southpaw to your advantage. And basically, that's how he feels. He says he's loving the opportunity he's getting out to fight a southpaw. He's going to demonstrate that he's one of the best fighters to fight southpaw against southpaw.
Luis, okay. I have a question for you, Luis. You know, being that you're his, you do all his management and stuff. When you're with Golden Boy, is Golden Boy really figuring him as just as a stepping stone? I mean, going against Robert the Ghost Guerrero, is that in turn for you guys upping your guys' level skill, or do you feel in management it's really a backward step for Casamayor?
To be honest with you, we were working the American fight. That was the fight that we thought was going to happen. And basically, it didn't happen. That was the fight that we wanted. I mean, obviously, like you're saying, Joel, I think Joel's just on a complete other level than this kid. And I don't look at it as a stepping stone. I just look at it as basically, look, we weren't going to get another opportunity with no one else. Joel, obviously, we know is one of the most avoided fighters he's been for the last decade. So, I mean, I looked at his look. He's ready. He was in camp. He was training great for Mir Khan. His spirits were up. So he said, you know what, Robert Guerrero is. That's what it is. You know, and we'll look at it more as just getting by Guerrero to get to the next guy. But I mean, obviously, it wasn't our first option. But I mean, at this point in his career, I didn't want him sitting on the sidelines for a couple months more, where people take advantage of him and wait for him to get older and a lot more rustier.
So when you took this on, what did it take any convincing in your end to Casamayor to tell him, to convince him to get in with Robert the Ghost Guerrero? Because I've heard the rumor that Marquez turned down the Khan fight because he felt, you know what, I don't want to be used as a stepping stone for these younger fighters.
No, I mean, when I first went to him, he said, well, who's Robert Guerrero? Why should Robert Guerrero even be in a ring with me? Who is he? You know, I think I just started getting him and then explaining to him more. I mean, sometimes you got to explain the business, and sometimes you're left with no other options, you know. I think of Tim Bradley, Amir Khan, I think for whatever reason, didn't fight him in July. I thought he thought it was a lot of risk, no reward, or however he wanted to look at it. But I think one thing, being a guy like Robert Guerrero, just still shows guys that he's still back, and he's still got to be messed with, you know. And I think HBO has bought in Robert Guerrero a couple times, and they weren't willing to buy Casamayor. So basically, we said, you know what, we'll take Robert Guerrero out first, and then we'll come after someone else.
I just have one last question. El Cepillo, do you still love boxing? And if so, what is it that you love about it?
El Cepillo, la pregunta es, ¿tú todavía tienes amor para el boxeo? ¿Y qué es el amor que tú tienes para el boxeo?
No,
si todavía
es que eso es todo lo que he hecho en mi vida. Y tengo el día que le pierde el amor al boxeo, yo me retiro. ¿Entiendes? Es que eso yo estoy venido a boxear y eso yo hago con amor y cariño. Y lo hago con toda mi voluntad. Por eso es lo que soy, ¿entiendes? El día que yo le quité el museo, no pego más, me voy y me quito.
He said, look, the day I stop loving this sport is the day I retire. I love this sport. It's the only thing I've known since I was 7 years old. And like I said, this is the day I stop loving boxing. I'll get out the game, but I still got a lot of love for it. And one thing he loves about it is it's just basically, look, this is all he's done in his life, and it's a hobby to him. You know, he likes to do it. Other than being his career and his profession, he's done it his whole life. You know, and he fought 400 amateur fights for free. So, I mean, now obviously getting paid for it, I mean, it makes a big difference. But, I mean, he did it before without getting paid.
It's
his job.
Mi trabajo, si me gusta a mí, yo no puedo decir que no me gusta, es mi trabajo. Y es lo que he hecho toda una vida de chiquito, de 7 años.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, when you brought it up to him, you just mentioned that he had said, who is Robert the Ghost Guerrero, and what has he done to deserve a shot to get in the ring with me? Now that he's looked at some tapes of Robert, does he still feel the same way, or does he feel, okay, this is a real challenge here for me?
Mira, Guerrero, sabía yo cuando ellos me preguntaron por qué Guerrero está peleado contigo, en verdad, que no ni está en clase tuyo. Y tú me dijiste la misma cosa cuando hablamos primero de la pelea esta, tú me hablaste eso, ¿me entiendes? ¿Quién es Guerrero para entrar al ring contra ti? Pero después que te pusiste a pensar bien, o viste videos, o tú lo conoces bien, ¿tú todavía piensas así? ¿Quién es Robert Guerrero a pelear contigo?
No, es un beso cualquiera, no es un beso que me tenga preocupado. un boxeador que no, no nadie lo conoce, y te digo que es un boxeador que yo tengo todo control sobre él, lo conozco bien y lo voy a dominar bien dominado.
He said, look, I know Robert Guerrero well. Robert Guerrero was one of the alumnus there at Joe Goosen's gym when we were there in California, and basically the kid picked off a lot of things off of Joel, and basically Joel says, look, I'm not worried. He doesn't do nothing special. He does nothing different. He's not like a let's say a Mayweather type where he'll throw feints at you and he'll change up the rhythm, or he can box going backwards or frontwards. This guy comes one way and that's forward. And if and like I said, if he comes in any way crazy coming forward, he's gonna get knocked out.
Well, Luis and Sopio, I want to thank you guys very much for taking the time to speak to us on Leaving in the Ring. I wish you guys the best of luck. Sopio, I wish the best of luck on July 31st. And, you know, we're definitely going to be tuning in to watch this fight.
Yeah, Sopio, quiero decirte gracias por todo, man, por coger el tiempo tuyo en este campamento.
Thank you, no, thank you. Thank you to ellos, que ellos son los que ponen a uno. Ellos son los que me conocen a mí. Gracias por...
He says it's a pleasure just to be on your show. You know, you guys take out the time for him also. And basically, he just wants to thank you guys 100% and make sure everyone's watching July 31st on HBO pay-per-view.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you again. Thank you again, Luis.
Thank you, all right?
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Joel Casamayor, El Cepillo, you know, just telling us his thoughts and his feelings about that fight. And, you know, and originally saying, hey, you know, I didn't know who this kid was, you know, Barry, a kid, and what has he done to deserve to get into the ring with me? You know, and in some ways or somehow, I still got to think that, hey, I think Golden Boy are probably looking at him. He's at his better days. You know, they're ending, and we got to find out if there's anything left. And we got to find out the money we invested on the Ghost, is he going to be there to continue ghosting out his opponents, or is he going to be the one being ghost back to Gilroy?
That's exactly what it is.
He got me excited about the fight a little bit. I have to say. Well, I thought it was interesting when he talked about you know, he fought a ton of southpaws in the amateurs, but hasn't as a pro. And he's been around for a long time, but then goes and says, basically, Robert doesn't really fight like a southpaw. He fights like a squared up, come forward dude, so he negates the one thing that would make him elusive in this fight. It's interesting. You know, I think that maybe, you know, power's the last thing to go, but also intelligence. And Casamayor, if anything, is as smart as they come in the ring, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A really smart guy. I mean, from the beginning. And you know what? You got to really look at his whole career. I don't know if you guys agree on this, but he's evolved. You know, the older he's gotten, the more he has sat down on his punches. Because back when he had barely came out, he did a lot of amateur Olympic style punching, slapping, not really sitting on those punches. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what makes him even more. You know, I think he's exciting. I know some fight fans have never really looked at him as, you know, an exciting fighter, but I've really looked at things now later in his career where he has, you know, pretty much exciting to me. You know, I'm going to take some calls right now. We got Caesar from Atlanta. He's got a question for me about Casamayor. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, how you doing, guys? This is Caesar from Atlanta. Gabe, you know me as ATL 5 Sports. Good question for you guys is this. You know, Casamayor spent a whole lot of years in the amateur system of Cuba.
Right.
If he would have gotten out of Cuba sooner, how much further do you guys think he would have gone? You know, he's had an illustrious career, but if he would have come out at the age that maybe a little younger than the Yordiales Gamboa did, how much further do you guys think he would have been or gone? Excuse me.
You know, that's a great question.
I mean, if we got to remember this, at one time when he did come out, you know, he was kind of avoided. I think that's really what has held him back to get further in his career, to really find out where he, you know, would be at a certain stage. I think even if he would have came out even earlier, a lot of people looked at him as a nightmare, style-wise, because he was southpaw and he was a slick fighter. So I think we'd end up with the same answer. How good?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I think, for one thing, he wouldn't be fighting at age 39. You know, I think he'd be retired by now, maybe 35, or maybe looking at his last big fights. You got to think that his development process, although, you know, it's probably as good as it comes, you know, fighting in the Cuban amateurs and fighting internationally, you know, in the amateur program. But he just would have had a little bit longer. He'd had like 10 extra years to build up to star status. And maybe he'd have been you know, in a better financial position when, you know, he was going up in contention for like guys like Floyd Mayweather when he was young, maybe he would have gotten that fight. You know, I think he would have gotten there a little bit sooner and maybe a little bit fresher. And because he was fresher, maybe he would win those big fights.
I got a question for you guys. We all know, and all of us have been around the circles long enough to know this, but the Cubans have a tendency to, once they come stateside, to kind of eschew discipline. I mean, it just seems like all these guys, they, once they get here, they start to party, they start to hang out more and more, they start to go to the gym. I mean, it's documented from Casamayor all the way down to the latest guy, which is Rigondeaux. Why do you think that is? And if they really stayed on focus, like some of the, you know, some of the other fighters that you actually do see focus, like, you know, for right now, we'll say Irislandi Lara. Why do you think it is? And do you think their careers would have taken off that much more had they shown the discipline that they did in Cuba?
Well, ask a married guy around the corner, you know, when he goes out and stuff, and he decides to, you know, let it all hang out, and he's looking at the clock. He's like, "Hey, listen, I want to drink. I want to do this. Let's go to five different strip clubs. Let's go to a house party." I think that's what it is.
Dave, your personal life is being exposed here.
There was a guy like that that bachelor party I went to about a month ago. That was definitely that guy. You know, he's really excited on the drive up, then drinking nonstop when we get there. By the end of the first night, he's walking around the house naked, and then he's just dead passed out on the couch. You know, all within like half the time it takes everybody else to get kind of drunk, you know, just ugly. But
that is ugly, you know. And I think Ernie, to answer that question, is that these guys are really, honestly, they're kind of, you know, they're so secluded from the real world when they're in Cuba. You know what I mean? They're assigned to particular things they do in life. It's like they're coming over here, and you know, I've said this before. It's like the kid that wins the lotto, you know, and you see this happen a lot. When somebody inherits or gets a big check or gets a lotto, they really honestly don't know what to do with that money, you know? And it's the same thing. I think the lifestyle of coming here to the United States, you know, is they don't know what to do. They're like, what? What do you mean? I can go and do this? You mean I can go and apply for a job this way? You mean I can go outside at this particular time and watch so-and-so movie? I think they end up wanting to kind of gather as much as they can because they believe I'm only going to have this for a short period of time, so I need to do as much as I can to fit everything in so that I can catch up for the years that I've been secluded from in the past. I think that could happen to a lot of these fighters.
So then the second part of that question, career-wise, do you think they would have excelled even more had they shown the same discipline that they showed in Cuba?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think
that the difference between Gasa and all the other guys that came over, all those guys stayed in Miami, heavily Cuban, and so they're among their people and they're able to party. It's almost like they're in a free version of where they were. Casamayor came out to the West Coast, and they put him with Joe Goosen. He removed himself from that, isolated himself. As I think isolation is a big part of how these fighters become so successful. You know, they're able to just focus in on being a fighter, wake up, run, go to the gym, go to sleep, rinse, repeat. And I think that's the difference, you know, that Joe's a great trainer, mixed well with Casa, but that he also, you know, isolated himself like that. That's the big difference in his career. It's what I thought Rigondeaux was going to do when he came out here, but I don't think, you know, for a Cuban guy, he can get any more isolated than going to Houston. So I think that's actually a good thing that he's moving over with Ronnie Shields, you know, speaking of Cubans. There's another Cuban there too, Irislandi Lara, trained out of Savannah. So I don't know. I think maybe that's the key, is just kind of maintaining the Spartan lifestyle that you had, you know, getting the success and enjoying it, you know, when it comes, but being smart about it. These other guys, it's like, who's the guy that fights out of Europe? Orlando Solis.
Solis, the heavyweight.
He got a huge signing bonus from them. I think he was with Sauerland. And he lives like a king over there, man. That's why you don't really hear about him. He's a really talented fighter, but he's also fat as hell because he's making
too much Wiener Schnitzel in German beer.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. A lot of bread. He's eating a lot of bread right now and potatoes.
Well, this kind of segues into our next guest, and I don't think he's going to be on for a while, but you know, as we all see, you know, Andre Brittle does enjoy the spotlight a little bit. Do
almost
you think
as much as Omar Henry.
We want Wow, I've never seen a more popular 10-0 fighter ever. Oh, my God. I could talk.
Panchito Bajado?
I could talk. Well, no, even not even Panchito. Panchito.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Panchito is just that he loved to party. Not necessarily, hey, look at me, I'm partying. He just wanted to party all the time. He didn't care who it was. You know, it wasn't about status. It wasn't about status for Tim. It was about the high. And I don't mean like, you know, drug high. I just mean the thrill of going out. But, you know, I mean, we've all seen, you know, Andre Berto's star kind of rise a little bit in terms of his star status. He's out all over the place. Of course, you know, I want to give him credit for doing, you know, the stuff that he did with his home country, his home island. But, you know, you wonder where guys like this and guys like Omar Henry, even a guy like Amir Khan, whether, you know, if it's catching up to them or if it's really where their focus is kind of misleading a little bit now. You know, because, you know, like I said, like with the Cubans, once they got here, you know, a whole new world opened up to them. Well, it's kind of the same way in a virtual world, you know, where you get more popular, you know, you kind of, you know, throw behind what got you to that point. You know, and I wonder if you guys both think it applies to Andre. I think it definitely applies to Omar Henry, but what about Andre?
You know, I don't know if Omar Henry, obviously, you got to say the guy's a little bit too much, you know. You see his Twittering and, you know, everything now. I mean, he kind of maneuvers himself like a star. Could it affect him? Could it get in the way? Yeah, it can and stuff. Berto, I don't know. I think you would have to say Berto's not that showy flash type of guy yet, you know what I mean? I think Berto still, his mind is in boxing. I think he's still waiting for that moment, whether or not it's going to be defined. You know, I think what hurts Berto the most is his punching power. You know what I mean? That's really honestly took him to that next level. To see prospects out there that think that they're superstars, that to me is just, it could backfire on you.
Here's the thing, too, though. In my opinion, you know, and I don't know about Gabe, but the more and more I see Berto, the kind of, you know, the thought that goes through my head, not necessarily early on, it used to be, hey, this guy's stunning, man. This guy's throwing combos. This guy's mixing it up. He's throwing beautiful combos that I've never seen before. The right-hand uppercut, you know, combo that he threw on Mickey Rodriguez, insane.
Oh, yeah.
Insane.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The combos that he was throwing against C. Forbes, insane. Now, he's turned into a one-shot fighter, and I'm wondering if his focus is a little bit misdirected now to where he's not the same fighter he was when he was, you know, a hungry guy who was looking to, you know, angle for him. I remember doing a chat with him, and the question came up was, how do you think you deserve a title? And he says, well, you know, it's not necessarily my doing. You know, I credit my management, and I said, you know, if it was or wasn't for the title, I'd still fight. But, you know, it just so happens that someone sees the talent in me and they gave me a shot to do it. And I'm not going to, what do you want me to say? No, I'd rather it go to an experienced fighter. No, I'm going to take that chance. But my hunger's still there. I wonder if that's changed now, you know, because you don't see the same fighter anymore.
Well, yeah, I think here's the thing, man, is that he's been on HBO a ton of times, like 6 or 7 times. He hasn't fought, and since that period, he's entered into 2 fights a year. He hasn't fought more than 2 fights a year since 2007, the last time he fought 4 times that year. Everything else has been 2 times. You can't get better unless you stay in the gym and are constantly using it like a lab to get better as a fighter, only fighting 2 times a year. It's the same thing that's going on with Paul Williams, fighting once or twice a year. And he's fighting on HBO, and he's making big money, and you're making kind of, not superstar, but star status money. You know, you're making in the millions. And you're not really having to fight anybody that's going to push you to the limits. But, you know, Louis Collazo and Quintana was probably the toughest fights that Berto's had. So how are you going to get better, and how are you going to get to that next level, you know, doing that? But at the same time, is there a desire to push to that next level because you're making good money?
I'm wondering how much of the shoulder injury has been in play. You know, I mean, how much has it been nagging at him where we've seen him limit himself in throwing those combos? Because you're right. After that Mickey Rodriguez, we've seen a decline of punches being thrown by him.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how long has it been there where it's been hidden and kept it away from the fight fans, where it's now it's surfaced so much that you can't avoid avoid it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I was talking to, you know, talking about before, and it's something I do want to ask Boundary about. Is that because he's with Al, he can't fight other fighters. And, you know, I've asked Danny Jacobs about it. He's like, I'm not sure how that's going to work if the fight gets to a point where it makes sense. I mean, I don't see how we couldn't fight. But, you know, you hear Berto calling out, like, a Pacquiao, but he's not really talking about Floyd, and he's not really talking about Paul Williams. And those are two guys that are within shooting distance. Andre's got a big enough frame to carry, you know, into the junior middleweight division. He doesn't necessarily have to weigh the limit, but I think he could carry it and be just as effective as he is now. He's a young guy. But you don't hear about those fights, and I wonder about that. I almost feel like the wool's being pulled over my eyes. I'm seeing a guy fight. He's fighting mandatories, but he's not fighting the best fights that I want to see. And, you know, it's not fair to single out just Andre. You're looking at Paul Williams as well. He's not always giving me the fights I want. I didn't want to make the right fight, you know. It's just weird. They're all doing it. At some point, we need to streamline it and make these guys all fight each other.
Well, you know...
I lost my train of thought there, but am I making sense, though? It's like everybody's kind of positioning to fight the right fight for themselves. Nobody's really willing to fight a fight that they may not win.
No, I agree with you, you know, but like I said, you know, Berto was twittering, I believe it was yesterday, who should I fight next? It's not really honestly up to who you're going to fight next. It's up to the management team. It's who are they going to put you up against, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, in reality... The fight fans, we're the ones that really honestly should be dictating what's going to be what's going next in boxing. You know, and if you feel this way, you can call in right now, 347-215-7598. The lines are open. Tell us, who should Berto fight next? If you want to ask Berto a question, call 347-215-7598 with your host, Dave Duenas, Gabriel Montoya, Ernesto Gavillon. Tell us what you think, man. I like to hear. Timothy Bradley out there right now, you know, he basically said, I'm a throwback fighter. Who should Timothy Bradley face? Should it be Andre Berto? Are these two guys right now, in style-wise, size-wise, are they enough made up to get in the ring since the fight never materialized, you know? Is that going to satisfy our hunger of seeing good fights out there? I say yes. I say put up the best fights out there. You know,
it's an interesting fight, actually.
Yeah, I think it's a great, interesting fight. You know,
if Tim stays at welterweight, I would like to see him fight an Andre Berto.
I'd love to see him.
Yeah. Otherwise, you need. You know, I think he should go back to 140. I was talking briefly with his co-promoter
Thompson.
Thompson. Now, yeah, more specifically, Alex Campanovo. And, you know, first thing I said, Timmy belongs at 140, and he kind of agreed. He kind of said, yeah, his best weight's probably 140.
Mm-hmm.
But Andre, it's weird with Andre. Andre's big, but he's small. I mean, he's wide, but he's a little guy. Kind of like Timmy, and that matchup is, I guarantee you it probably would be fireworks, you know.
That's explosive. It's explosive, you know. And like I said, fight fans, you want to call in, the lines are open, 347. 215-7598. You can ask either one of us, Dave Duenas, Gabriel Montoya, or Nestor Gavillon, any question you want, or you want to call in and speak to one of the guests, you're more than welcome to. But I ask, this is a question I got. Danny Green versus Paul Briggs. Did he take a dive at the IBO, you know, Cruiserweight Championship bout after taking a slightly, being tagged slightly by a lazy jab by Green? You know,
I don't even think that jab landed. It just kind of looked like a push.
It grazed right over him. You know what I mean? Kind of like the way a cow grazes over the grass. That's what it did. It just grazed right over him. And Briggs, you know, fell face first to the canvas. So my question is to everybody, call it. If you watch it live, I watched it on YouTube because fight fans were sending me it, man, and I just couldn't believe it. I was kind of disgusted. I was more disgusted about staying up till midnight to hear Bob tell us about the fight that wasn't going to happen.
I got some opinions about this fight. Right now, I know people in Australia, just through other things, in boxing, not related to this story, that are now kind of talking to me about what happened. Some of it's off the record, and I'm going to do something for Max Boxing on it. Basically, yeah, it's kind of fixed, but not in the way you think. I think we saw a fighter that should not have been in the ring. That's pretty much all I'll say. I think he, yeah, health-wise, he should not have been in the ring. And it's real questionable as to how he was actually allowed to be in there. That's
right.
What I'm looking into right now.
And you could be right about that. You know, health-wise, mentally, he shouldn't have been in that ring. Career-wise, it definitely not put him on a setback, but it definitely pushed him off the charts of ever getting back in there. And we got to remember the wars that he has been, you know, Paul Briggs. It's a fight, man, that right now, if you needed something solid to say, hey, this guy should never fight again, that was solid enough, Ernesto. I don't know what you think. That was solid enough. Don't send him an Everlast gloves, brother.
Congratulations.
Well, you know, it was very... I looked at the fight and I said, that's it? You know, because I thought it was, you know, I was looking for the dive. You know, I was looking because, you know, someone had said, you know, that's what happened. And I didn't think it would happen that quick and really that uneventful. And I'm like, well, is that it? And sure enough, he gets counted out. And it just looked like, I mean, Danny started talking to him when he was down. But I got to honestly believe somewhere down the line, there was a gentleman's agreement to kind of just
throw the fight
for the results. You know, it just there was Paul's really in no shape to fight. So what do you want us to do? Well, you know, go easy on him and we guarantee that that Green will win. And it seemed like it just looked
right.
Like, okay, am I gonna hit you now? Yeah, hit me now. Boom.
Did you see the odds on the second? The first round KO dropped went up to 6-1.
Really?
The odds dropped. I mean, normally it's pretty high.
Yeah, it's usually like a
18-1.
Yeah.
It dropped to 6-1.
Wow.
Oh wow.
Briggs, you know, like I said, there's certain things. There's rumored that he needed money. That he'd lost some. Recently, he was going to be paid $200,000 to $250,000 for this fight. Odds dropped to 6-1.
Wow.
Now I was perusing the message board out there, and someone brought up the aspect of David Green's raps.
That was brought up last time when he had faced Roy Jones Jr., you know?
Exactly. And someone had said that this is now the fourth fight where David Green's raps were very questionable. Danny Green's, I'm sorry, David Green, Danny.
I know, it's okay. You're thinking about me.
You know, a guy who noticed quite a bit about the Australian commissions, and particularly can talk about the rap issue is Justin Fortune. I've had a lot of conversations about the Australian commissions.
Yeah, someone was telling the story that Roy Jones' team or camp noticed that Green's raps
had
been on for hours.
Yeah, he was on Leaving in the Ring, and he was telling us that, you know, about the questions about his rap. I don't know, man. That punch was not enough.
No, of course not. But
question that ham wrap, you know.
It just seems like, you know, boxing down under is...
Real down under, yeah.
Really down. Either that or on the serious down low. I mean, it just seems real shady down there. I mean,
Justin can tell you stories that will just turn you white. You know, you're just like, wow. It's, you know, you want to do your gauze and then wrap it in duct tape? Okay, cool. You
no
know?
Problem.
Yeah, no problem. And I've seen that in the gym, guys do that. But, you know, the inspector look at him and go, you're good, mate, you know, and send you on out there. And who knows what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
I've heard stuff about the California Commission, man.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the MMA events where they fight after they get wrapped, walk around in the stands.
Yeah.
And then come on back, sans inspector. So like,
No. Actually, I've seen fighters do that.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. The guy, you know, the fighter walking around in the crowd,
boxers.
Got his hand wraps on. And,
not just
you know,
MMA guys, but boxers. I've seen
boxers. You've seen boxers do that? Really?
Yeah. I won't say what show because I don't want them to get in trouble, but
yeah.
I've seen local shows where a fighter will come out with no official in tow and look for, say, like a family member and sit down and start talking to them.
Hmm.
Swear.
Wow.
To me, I'm still a novice at this, you know, as far as the industry is concerned. I didn't think anything of it, but now that you bring it up, you know, it's like, you know, I could totally see that, you know, where it would be highly questionable for them to do that. But, yeah, I've seen that firsthand.
Exactly. You know, Korean boxer Bae Kyi-suk sadly lost his battle to life after being TKO'd by Yong King Kai. last Saturday night. I hope I'm pronouncing those names right, man. If I'm not,
no, you can't pronounce. You can't pronounce David Smith's name right.
Has Sally passed away 4 days after his fight? Rest in peace, brother. You know, it's a sad thing. I can pronounce my name. That's all that matters there, Ernesto.
See, okay. You can't even pronounce mine.
Vladimir Klitschko and Alexander Povetkin is off. The IBF sanctioned body has confirmed that mandatory challenger Alexander Povetkin to be removed from the top 10, replaced by once beaten by Klitschko, Samuel Peters, for the September 11th date. Possible reason was due to Povetkin. This is one of the reasons why, because the Klitschko camp said they wasn't appearing to the German press conference and not helping promote and push the fight. But Povetkin saying that he has some sinus infection. So he has been removed. He's being put in with the Samuel Peters fight. Terrible, man. I was really looking forward for that fight. I wanted to see it. But, I guess things are just happening in boxing that we cannot explain. It's all about this and that and this. What do you do?
It's weird. One source told me that Povetkin was seen having dinner with Vitaly Klitschko and Oleg Moskov, and suddenly his knee and his back began to hurt, and then he got really sick and had to call off the fight. That was actually a joke.
I'll let you redeem yourself, dude.
I'll let you redeem yourself
10 minutes after, okay?
Yeah, thanks. Anyways, all this is you know, Teddy Atlas, there's a few things going on. Teddy Atlas has been against the fight since the very beginning. I actually do have a guy that's very close to Cyril and Group. And he was saying that there's some question as to whether or not Teddy's going to continue on with the training, that the Povetkin's people were basically using him kind of like almost like Hamed with or Manny Stewart with Hamed, kind of an extra guy. It's more, you know, training him, but also consulting the Russians kind of do their own thing with him. And the chemistry is not quite there. So that might be going away. But I think overall they may have agreed that the guy's just not ready yet. He's, what, under 20 fights. He's got a great amateur pedigree, but why go to this fight? It's like they maneuvered him too fast in the mandatory spot. They're realizing. Kind of like Angulo realized after getting outboxed by Kermit Cintron that maybe becoming the mandatory to Sergio Martinez isn't the best idea in the world.
No, it could be right. I mean, you know, look, Teddy barely getting him under his tutelage and putting him underneath his wing, you know, trying to show him the ropes of what he can do. And you know, I could see why Teddy Atlas would say, you know what, this is not a good fight. Let's not do this. You know, let's wait. Let's see what else is out there. Let's test the waters. Let's make sure that, you know, I'm able to instruct you, because we got to remember they both don't speak the same language. So that those motivational speeches definitely are going to just bounce off of the ears of Povetkin. He's always going to look at his trainer, and you know, so the chemistry, we don't even know how well it's going to be. And for a first big fight for Povetkin, I can agree with you, and I can understand why. But as a fight fan, I'm a little disappointed. I wanted to see it happen.
Teddy can't call his kid because he probably doesn't know the foreign code to Russia.
Oh, shit.
I think they should make
Povetkin and David Hay fight. You know, this is just the guys that won't fight the Klitschko's. Just fight each other then.
I doubt it very much. David Hay would fight him, though.
on the other aspect of that, from a manager's perspective, you see that, you know, Vitaly and Vladimir are probably at the end of their careers. You know, do you strike while the iron's hot and you have a chance, or do you take caution to the wind and think, okay, well, you know, if we take our time and the opportunity is still there and we keep winning, do we now dominate a division sans the Klitschko's? I think that's a tough decision for a promoter to make or a manager to make.
There's two different heavyweight leagues. There's the fights that HBO wants to show, mm-hmm. and then there's the Klitschko fights. So if you think about it, Povetkin probably matches up better with all the other heavyweights. He maybe can be relentless in pressure against David Hay and beat him on technique and volume, or he can go take out Tomasz Adamek and make a bunch of money in a Poland fight or in New Jersey and fill out there. You know, the East Coast is full of the Polish and Russians. Man, that's a big-ass fight there.
Absolutely.
And HBO would show those fights as opposed to anything with the Klitschko. So maybe it's a good business move as well as a good fight management move.
It could be. It could be. Or, you know, it could be, like I said, it could backfire. We don't know. You know, Golden Boy suspension has been lifted by the New York State Athletic Commission. In unanimous voting lifted the suspension after a hearing. And Tecate Box Tours in Tijuana, you know, I will talk to you a little bit more about it as soon as we get our correspondent from SD Fights and Fight News in Tijuana, Felipe Leon, who I believe we got on the line with us. What's up, Felipe?
What's going on, David?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. How's everything going out there over there, man?
Well, actually, it's pretty good today. We have the weigh-in for that fight card that's happening tomorrow in Tijuana, exactly at the Tecate Box Tour that you just mentioned. And then there's another fight card on Saturday night. So it's a pretty big event going on down here in TJ.
Tell us a little bit about this Tecate Box Tour. You know, I know it's kind of formed and kind of mimicking another sport. Kind of break it down for us so we can kind of more or less know what their idea of trying to hook in and push in other fight fans.
Well, actually, it was pretty interesting. I was there actually today. There was the weigh-in happened there today. And it's basically, you know, it follows the footsteps of, like, the NFL experience where they have, you know, different activities that people can do that relate to the sport, in this case being boxing. They have heavy bags there. They have speed bags, double M bags. They have, you know, some Wii game components, and they're playing the boxing thing. And they got, you know, the – I don't know if you've ever seen them at some bars that they're – you know, you have like a bag and you hit it as hard as you can and it'll give you a score. So they have all that. And then plus that, they have an arena where they set up a great-looking arena. It seats about 2,500. It has a ring right in the middle. And that's where the fight card is going to be. They've been doing this Tecate Box Tour. It started in Aguascalientes when Margarito fought Garcia. And they've been traveling to different cities like Monterrey and Guadalajara. And it finally made a stop in Tijuana. And to be honest with you, before I called in, I was thinking about it. And, you know, it would be a great idea to have this, like, you know, outside the Staples Center or anywhere in the United States to kind of, you know, bring that experience to the fans here in the States.
Well, take me back really, really quick. Okay, so they got the speed bag, they got the punching bags, they got the game. And yeah, you know what, I've been in the bar where they have that, where you hit the bag, but it's a speed bag. But hey, Felipe, I never do it, bro, because I don't like people. You know, I don't like a lot of people surrounding me after, you know, and they realize I'm a hard hitter and all that. You know, and they're like, you got this guy.
They
want
to sign. They want to sign you and put
they
you in the
sign
ring,
you
huh?
In and everything and stuff, man. I'm like, nah.
He looks like Tarzan, but punches like Jane.
You know, but so is this for the fighters to do for you know, the audience to see, or the audience can participate in this?
No, it's for the audience. It's for the boxing fans. Actually, to get to the arena, you have to walk through this room where they have all these activities. And then, obviously, since it's sponsored by Tecate, they have a couple of bars in there where you can buy, you know, some alcoholic and beverages. But you have to walk through this arena, so it's completely for the boxing fans. But actually, it doesn't open to the public until tomorrow. So today we were there, you know, and there were some boxers that were trying out, you know, the little machines and stuff like that, and the games and the Wiis and stuff like that. So it was pretty fun. Like I saw, you know, they also have, you know, that thing they have at the fairs where you hit it with the hammer and it goes up and it rings. Well, I saw Archie Solis, you know, hitting that thing. He scored pretty high for a little guy. So it was pretty fun. We were there for a couple hours to check.
Did he have the lollipop in his mouth? Did he put the lollipop in his mouth when he was doing that? Was he walking around?
No, he didn't.
What fighters were out there trying out all the, you know, the stuff, the venue?
Oh, the biggest name right there was Archie Solis. He was there today. And then the fighters are going to be participating in the fight card tomorrow, which is just local fighters. I don't know if you know, but this Acid Glove or Guante Feca, this tournament that has been going on in TJ for like the last month. And it's a bantamweight tournament and a super lightweight tournament. And they just got a bunch of regional fighters from Tijuana and Mexicali and a couple other places, and they put them in the ring, you know, for four or six rounds. And it's been wars because these guys are hungry. They're barely coming up. Nobody really knows them. It's been wars. And whoever wins each tournament gets $5,000, and they get a berth in the Campeón Azteca, or the Aztec Champion, which is kind of like a contender-type television series that is broadcast down here in Mexico on a major channel. So they're really going to town, and tomorrow's a couple of the semifinals. But yesterday, we had a they had like a little parade, a caravan that went all around Tijuana for about an hour and a half, and on that boat was Archie Solis, and then Antonio Margarito was on there too, and then another fighter here from Tijuana. His name is he was a WBC interim super featherweight champion former. His name is Humberto Gutierrez. He was on that float too. So they've been getting a little bit of people to come out.
Now, you know, you said that it's being televised in a local Mexico over there and stuff. Are they planning to maybe, because it sounds like it's like almost like the contender and even like the prize fighter that was happening in the UK, series. Are they planning to maybe Ustream it or get it out there to the American public or maybe the public from all around the world to tune in and support this?
You know what? At this moment, I doubt it. I mean, it's being recorded. This tournament here is being recorded locally through the Mexican channel, the affiliate of the Azteca channel, and they're just trying to get the fighters that are going to go into the reality show. So, I mean, it's tough. There isn't that much infrastructure to be able to put it on, you know, on the internet or on YouTube and stuff like that. But, you know, I wish they did because these fights have been wars because these kids, you know, they're like 5-0, 13-1, 12-3, and, you know, and $5,000 in their lives is a lot of money. So they're really going at it, and hopefully tomorrow we'll see some of those wars. You know, it's none of this, I mean, I don't want to talk bad, but, you know, this Nokia Live stuff where, you know who's going to win when you walk in. These
right.
fights, you don't know. These guys are really fighting for, you know, a better life, and they're going at it.
Give me some of the names that are going to be on this Tecate Box Tour, you know. What are some of the guys out there that we should really honestly, because I know you're going to be doing your write-ups about them, right, so we can keep our eye out for?
Yeah, on the main event tomorrow, there's this kid from Mexicali. His name is Jesus Gurrola. He actually comes from the same gym that Alfredo Angulo did. So he's going to be fighting. To me, he's the favorite in the super welterweight. I mean, actually, sorry, the super lightweight tournament. And he's going to be fighting this guy from Tijuana named Rafael Cobos. And in the bantamweight, we have another guy from Mexicali from the same gym. His name is Jesus Navarro, and he's going to be fighting this guy from right down the road from where he's at in Mexicali in San Luis, which is right on the border of Arizona. And his name is Oscar Gallardo. That's his name. So those are the names that you should be looking out for. And then whoever wins those two fights are going to go into the finals, which are going to happen in August.
Now, let's move away from south of the border. Let's kind of go into in San Diego, kind of towards the L.A. area. What are some other guys out there? I know Marcito Agesta is going to be fighting August 20th in Arizona on Telefuturo. Is there anything kind of information you can kind of give us some insight on who he's going to be stepping in the ring with?
Well, Marcito Agesta is going to be fighting on August 20th in Tucson, Arizona, at the Casino del Sol, or something like that, some kind of casino out there. And he's fighting some guy named... It's not official yet, but it looks like it's going to be some guy from Mexico City. His name is Genaro Trazancos. And that guy, he's a journeyman. He has about 9 losses, about 23, 24 wins. He's fought some big names out there. But what I've heard is that they're really just trying to build up his KO percentage. Marcito Gesta, you know, trying to make him a little bit more appealing for TV and hopefully get him a title shot, to be honest with you, by the end of the year. That's what I've been hearing.
Wow.
He's been calling out Humberto Soto a lot. Me, personally, I don't think that he's ready for Humberto Soto, but he also has called out Michael Cassidy's and other fighters like that. He wants the title. He wants it. He thinks he's ready for it, and that's what he's vying for. But I think the strategy right now is just to make him a little bit more appealing. So when Max Kellerman or Jim Lampley are saying his name on HBO, it's a little bit more opinion as far as knockout percentage and something like that.
Yeah, because, I looked at his record, and we're talking about the Filipino kid that a lot of people are honestly keeping a close eye on that. His record right now at the moment, he doesn't look like a puncher on paper. But the last time I seen him, and I believe it was on Telefuturo, right? He was on there, and he was fighting like he had a lot of power, and he was able to get his guy out of there pretty quick. And if I remember correctly, he's also going to be fighting with another kid on the undercard, Michael Little Warrior Franco, right? That's at the Del Sol Casino. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The Sun Casino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he actually was on Telemundo last time, but now they're going to start pushing him a little bit with Telefutura because he's actually promoted by Don Chargan. But now that Don Chargan has done that, you know, he's been that strategic alliance with Golden Boy. I think that he's going to be featured more on to Telefutura, which is interesting because in that he's a Filipino, You know, they're going to try to match him up against Mexicans, so that way it makes it appealing towards you know, the audience. But he's a good fighter. You know, what's that?
I said always picking on the Mexicans.
Yeah.
Let's see how it is.
But, but the thing is that I think that his knockout since, I mean, he started off fighting when he was about 15, 16 years old, and he was a lower weight class, and he got some KOs there, and then he kind of started fighting a little bit over his weight, and that's why I think he didn't really shine his power. But at 135, he's really built into that weight, and I think that we're going to start seeing him knock out a couple more people because you know how they say speed kills, you know, so he's very, very fast. So so I think that we're going to start seeing a little bit more knockouts from him.
Go ahead and tell me anything else, brother, that the fight fans should be excited about. Something out there that's, you know, has not yet been released, and who's going to be where and what's going to be happening out there in San Diego or in TJ, or even not, it doesn't even have to be in those areas that you know about.
Well, just a couple of things. You know, Christopher Martin, who is a 122-pounder here in San Diego, who is undefeated, has a couple of draws, but has like about 22 wins, not much knockouts, about six of them. He's a good fighter, you know, has a little bit of a little, you know, shoulder roll and stuff like that. He's going to be facing Chris Avalos on August 6th on Showbox. Originally, it was going to be another Tijuana fighter who is now located in L.A. His name is Javier Gallo, but I've heard that now Christopher Martin has been asking for that fight. He wants that fight. He's going to drop down to 118 pounds, which I find interesting because in his last bout, which was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he weighed in at 126. So I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make when he faces, you know, a bantamweight guy at 118 pounds who is comfortable at that weight. That's one thing that we have to look forward to here in San Diego and TJ on August 6th. Another thing is Humberto Zorrita Soto, who is a three-time world champion. He trains out of Tijuana. He lives in Los Mochis, but he trains out of Tijuana. He's going to be going into the ring on September 4th or 5th, I believe, being that there's a bicentennial going on in Mexico in September. Mexico is 200 years old from their independence. They're going to be having a lot of fights on September to celebrate that. And Humberto Soto is going to be on a fight card either the 4th or the 5th, and I believe that Archie Solis is also going to be on there, well, either the 4th or 5th or the 25th of September against some opponents unnamed right now. And the last thing is that Antonio De Marco, who just, you know, knocked out Agua Caliente. Yeah, Daniel Ada, it looks like he's going to be positioned as the number one mandatory challenger again in the WBC for the lightweight title. So hopefully we'll see him fight for a title by the end of the year again.
Well, there you go, man. Well, Felipe, man, I really appreciate it that you came on and gave us all the updates and news that are happening out there. And, hey, if you want to follow Felipe, you can go to SD Fights, right, on Twitter?
SD Fights, SD Fights on Twitter and SDFights.com. That's my little website. And also, I'm the feature writer for FightNews.com.
And he's also the South of the Border correspondent for us here on Leaving the Ring. Felipe, brother, it's always a pleasure, man. I will catch up with you, and we'll do this again.
Thank you, man. Thank you, David. See you later, Gabriel.
All right, man. That's it. Nice to hear from you, man. Good stuff. Really good stuff.
All right. Thanks, man. Talk to you later.
All right.
And, you know, Felipe is going to be doing this, you know, on I don't know if we're going to do it bi-weekly yet. It really depends if whether or not how much news that we're getting and all that, the breaks and breakthroughs. You know, Ernesto, too, is one of our guys. Gabriel, too, man. I mean, we all kind of have some breaking news that happen here and there that we can always break on the radio show. But it's always nice to hear for another guy that's really in the mix. He's out there and he's getting his hands on stuff, and he's, you know, working with particular fighters, and he's working at particular events. So you get the inside and the intake and the stories that are really behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, man. So that's always a major, major plus, you know. Speaking about behind the scenes stuff, man. So Manny Pacquiao has a possible, he's got that date in November 13th, and I definitely want to talk about this before we get our next guest on the line, Andre Berto. But there's a possible talk, there's like whispering around happening that it might be a fight happening in Monterrey, Mexico with Antonio Margarito. Ernesto, what do you think, bro? I mean, a fight that fight fans should be wanting to see, or something that a lot of fight fans are going to turn their backs on if it does happen?
Well, to kind of validate, yeah, it there are definitely talks from all indications. It's pretty, from what I heard, it's kind of almost a close close to done deal. The numbers have been agreed upon, I think, from what I've heard. You know, just everything is just pretty much in line with the fight being a go. Now, as to people watching it, you know, honestly, it's such a gray area for me because I'm biased. I mean, I work. I'm not gonna lie, but see, I work.
I was waiting. That was nice.
Let me just, you know, shine in the rest of the people listening. Gable, this must be Ernie's reporter's voice. Real serious when you bring up. Have you noticed that, Gable? His voice gets really serious. You bring up his
very low. Margarito.
I can't speak. I can't speak on because
I hear you.
I worked for these guys. I still work for these guys. In particular, Sergio Diaz for many, many years. You know, and I've been around these guys, and I've been around Tony for years.
You gotta
you know?
Have an opinion about it. I mean, okay, you
do. I have an opinion.
Understand.
Yeah. You know what? If from my opinion, my personal opinion, hell yeah, I'm gonna go watch. And if I get a chance to, I'll go down there to watch the fight. I can go on and on. I think Tony took a lot of heat for what is essentially an issue that is still very much in question as to what exactly happened. You know, and I think it's funny. Tony took the year off, took his punishment, didn't complain, didn't whine, didn't do anything. Yet his trainer, who took the same punishment, went on with his life, went on with his career, trained, you know, obviously he's not training Tony, but trained other fighters.
He's training Giovanni Segura right now.
Yeah, yeah. Trained in the U.S. So hello, California State Athletic Commission, if you're listening. Javier Capetillo is training in the U.S. In just all these things, you know, his life went on. And yet it's Tony who's taking the brunt of this. If you look, you know, at Fat Dan, you know, every chance he gets, he calls him Margachito, disgraced fighter, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Yeah, I get it. You don't like him. You know, you probably turned down an interview or two. We get it. But you know what? at some point, he's going to fight again. Whether you like it or not, he's going to fight again.
I don't think it's the point, Ernie, though, but I don't think it's the point that people won't watch it. The question is, should he get that fight? Should Bob Arum make that fight?
Honestly, and I love Tony, and if Sergio, if you're listening to this, I love you to death. But no, he shouldn't get this fight. He's only had one fight since the Mosley fight. He, in all honesty, it's not the truth. If we're going to shit all over people who don't earn their shots, then me being a fair person about this, and I've always said that I love the sport more than I love the fighters, he shouldn't get a shot at this. The only reason he's getting a shot at this is because of the same promoter. It's the same reason why they were discussing a Cotto rematch. And he shouldn't get a shot at this. But you know what? You know, if boxing is what it is, and I don't really overly cry over undeserving guys not, you know, getting shots and really deserving guys not getting shots, you know, I'm not going to bellyache about this too much. But no, in my opinion, no, he shouldn't have gotten this fight. It should have been the fighter that doesn't want to fight versus the fighter that isn't thinking about fighting.
Well, yeah. As a fight fan, and you know, I feel your pain. I understand what you're coming from, but as a fight fan, I'm speaking as a fight fan. I don't think he deserves it.
No,
I don't think he should get it. I think if anything, it's going to have to take some real longevity time in order for him to get a major payday off of fight fans. But a guy right now that we got on the line that does deserve a shot at a big fight, you know, or does he deserve a shot at a big fight? Is Andre Berto? You on the line with this brother?
Yeah, I'm on the line. What's happening?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, but man, can't complain. Staying busy.
Staying busy. You know, Berto, I got to ask you really, really quick. You know, I saw your Twitter. You're saying, who should I fight next? Well, let me ask you, who do you want to fight next? And does management get in the way of you wanting to fight the person next? When do you, at one point, when you take control and say, you know what, I'm not listening to you guys anymore. You took me this far. It's time for me to give back to the people and what they want to see.
You know what, but the thing is that, you know, just a lot of the fight fans and people that's in front of the screen really don't understand. I mean, you know, a lot of us, we really want a lot of these big fights. But there's a lot of other, you know, logistics involved. There's a lot of other, you know, business involved. A lot of other, you know, things that's involved that you know causes us not to have these fights right at this point. It's you know, a lot of times it's not a fighter ducking another fighter, or a fighter just running away from a certain type of competition. I mean, there's a lot of other things behind the scenes that goes into making these big fights. And he, you know, it's not always the fighter's fault at all. But, you know, but there's a lot of the, you know, big fights out there that I want, that I would love. I mean, you know, I love HBO. HBO has, you know, I basically grew up, you know, fighting on HBO, you know, as a professional. And, you know, as of right now, man, you know, I'm right there pretty much in the top. In the top, you know, four or five names in the welterweight division, and it's about almost that time, so I'm looking forward to it.
I hear what you're saying, Gilberto, but I'll go back with that question again. Is I understand all that, the management, you know, and I think, you know, you're right. There's a lot of fight fans that don't understand that there's money behind it, and there's, you know, particular things that have to be aligned correctly in order for something to be pushed forward and to happen. But I'm asking you, in a perfect world in boxing, who does Andre Berto want to fight? And at what point do you say, you know what, management team, you've done a great, great job. But now I think it's time for me to really honestly give back what is out there for me to be recognized as the best fighter in the world.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, everything would be pretty much like the old days. And everybody would fight everybody. You know, I'll go in there, I'll fight Shane Mosley. Me and him have a lot of unfinished business. A lot of people want to see me and Cotto scrap it on. I would love that. You know, a lot of people love to see me and Pacquiao fight. I would love a fight like that. And, you know, guys like Mayweather and things like that. I mean, in a perfect world, that's what I would love. You know, mm-hmm. that's what I would love. I mean, but, you know, but like I said, at the same time, you know, us as fighters, you know, we've learned a lot from our past, you know, counterparts, and like a business aspect. And we understand that you know, every time we step in the ring, you know, it's a risk. I mean, a lot of these people that's, you know, sitting back, you know, watching us, you know, they don't really get to see a lot of the hard work that we put in and a lot of the damage that we take, you know, just going in the ring and just after these fights, you know, a lot of things we have to take care of, but just me, like, I'm a throwback fighter. I just love just going there and just fight anybody, you know, but at the same time, you have to be smart.
Dre, this is Ernie from Boxing Scene. How you doing, champ?
How you doing, man?
Good, good, good. Hey, so, you know, going along that line of questioning, and I heard your response, and I understand it, and I actually, you know, respect your honesty with it, but doesn't it piss you off just a little bit knowing that because the politics and the powers that be, if you really desired to fight, I don't know, say a Paul Williams or Floyd Mayweather specifically, you really necessarily can't because of other interests involved. I mean, doesn't it upset you that you know, you're taking away two of the best fighters for you simply because of the ties that may bind you? Doesn't it upset you to say, you know what, guys, can I just fight the best? Can I just go out there and say, hey, point my finger at this guy. I want to fight this guy. Let's make it happen. Doesn't it upset you a little bit personally?
Of course. I mean, you know, of course it does. You know what I mean? It does. For me, just being in my position, I want to be recognized as the best in one of the best divisions in boxing. And
yes.
And if I'm yelling out these guys' names, realistically, sometimes, you know, that pushes them further away, you know?
Yeah.
So the only thing I can do is go in there and just continue to eat. Just go in there, put on these great performances and knocking these guys out. So they won't have no other choice.
Yep. And I guess, you know, it kind of also ties in a little bit. You know, you kind of I remember when you first started the career, you and I used to do the chats over at Max Boxing a lot. And, you know, I've actually followed you since your sixth fight. You fought over here at Agua Caliente where I first met you. You were pretty active. You were an active fighter, much like the way Danny Jacobs is active now. It's
yeah.
kind of stopped a little bit. I mean, does it, with all the politics, I guess, maybe behind it, does it kind of feel like a hindrance almost that you're fighting maybe one or two times a year, you know, at the most maybe two times a year? Or do you feel that this is now the pacing for you? This is the proper pacing for you? Because I remember when you were active, you were a much more, you know, crisper, combo punching fighter, but now it seems, you know, maybe a little stagnation.
Definitely. I mean, you know, at the beginning of your career, I mean, you know, that's for any fighter that has, has a good team. They really want to get their young fighter active early. But just being in a position of being signed to a big network, you know, with these, you know, huge budgets, you know, they have to cut those budgets up, you know. So as much as you want to go like me, if I can go 5-6 times a year like I used to, I would love it. But these are a lot bigger fights. These are a lot bigger fights, a lot bigger, you know, stage of a process for a network to build a fight like that up, and a lot more money on the table, you know. So, you know, so it's not too many, you know, networks out there that can continue putting out, you know, seven-figure, you know, paydays to these fighters on a, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times a year. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, so for you, would you prefer to take, say, 5 or 6 fights at $1 million a clip, totally maybe $6 million, rather than, say, 2 fights at $3 million, because it keeps you active and you still earn the same amount?
Yeah, it does keep me active, but at the same time, you just need to think about, it just depends on what type of opponent you're trying to fight. If I can fight, you know, so-so opponents or a good opponent that's going to continue getting me that credibility, yeah, I would love that. But at the same time, I can't do that if they're trying to throw me in there with any of these huge guys, you know. And at the same time, you have to think, you know, business-wise as well. If I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fight a Pacquiao, you need to understand that, you know, it, most likely it's going to be a pay-per-view bout. And it's, you know, it just has a lot to you know, for the network just to build up to a fight like that. So it's just,
yep.
I mean, just – logically, it just won't be, you know, it just couldn't be done to fight huge fights at that magnitude 5 or 6 times a year.
Andre, this is Gabe Montoya with Max Boxing and with Leave It in the Ring. Welcome to the show, man. Thank you for coming on. This is a bit of a hardball, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. First off, I want you to know that I have the, you know, my deepest condolences to what happened in Haiti to your family. And I've asked this question with all due respect. ESPN.com reported that you had been paid, I think, somewhere around $1.2 million step-aside money, essentially, in the Mosley fight because of the situation that you were in, some sort of compensation for that. Is that true? And two, how hard was it to walk away from a fight with Shane Mosley, which would have basically set you up to become a pay-per-view star?
You know, it definitely wasn't any you know, side money involved in that situation at all, you know. But you know, definitely was a, you know, it was a tough decision to make. But then again, I know it was a decision that if I wouldn't have took, I wouldn't be able to live with, you know. So you know, so I made the decision. I made the trip over it, and it just makes me feel a lot better just as a person. I mean, forget boxing. You know, just in life, just me as a person, me as an individual, and the character that I have, that I've been brought up with, you know, that right there, it's what settled me. I'm good now, you know, and I know what I did. I did it for a reason. I'm gonna continue, you know, pressing on that issue and continue, you know, trying to bring that awareness to that situation.
Getting to you as a fighter. We were talking a little bit, like, you know, how you were fighting less, so the development might be stunted. You still find yourself growing as a fighter, still learning in the gym and trying new things out?
Of course. I mean, I believe at the same time, you know, us having a lot more time to relax in between fights. You know, first off, the fights are, you know, as you continue to grow, the fights, they get a lot harder. You need your body to rest because of the training camps and the development that we try to go through to get ready for these huge fights. You can't really continue to train at that intensity if you're fighting 5 or 6 times a year. My training situation is completely different from how I was training at the beginning of my career when I fought every, like, 2 months, you know, and your body would not be able to stand that type of punishment if you train like you train now for your fight. You know what I mean? So between now, it gives us a lot more time to think about, you know, our opponents, think about, like, the tuning up process, think about, you know, a lot of things we want to bring new into training camp to get ready for these huge fights.
Dre, you know, when we were talking a little earlier before you came on, Ernesto was bringing up that, Back in the past, we saw you teeing off pretty well with a lot of combos. But after with Mickey Rodriguez, we've kind of seen you kind of be a little bit more reserved in your punching. And I'm wondering, since you had that shoulder injury in your last fight, which was known, you know, you had to go to a surgery, was that a nagging injury that was, you know, just kind of hidden away in the past and it just kind of surfaced now where you couldn't hide it any longer?
No, you know what, because I just try to take a different approach to a lot of things. I mean, at the beginning of my career, I came out hard. I came out like a fireball, and I just came out extremely aggressive. And you know, it was exciting, but at the same time, I got a lot of criticism for it. You know, just me just being a young fighter and you know, not sitting back and you know, just looking at, you know, my shot, just going in there trying to bulldoze over everybody. So after I fought, you know, Mickey Rodriguez, I wanted to take a different approach. I wanted just to show a lot of people that I can sit back and box and think and you know, just do other things. And all my hardcore, you know, fans that have been watching me from the beginning, that turned them off, so I it kind of was like it was kind of like in a losing type situation. I mean, all my hardcore fans, they kind of got turned off by that style of me just sitting back or just me just really, really analyzing and taking my time. So I felt that within that time, I was able to show people that I can move around and box. I can take my time. And now it's I'm back in that mindset of just going in there and just taking my opponents out.
Now, I don't want to, you know, keep going back with the whole, you know, management and everything else. But, you know, I'm trying to pick your mind and what you're thinking. And otherwise, I see you, you know, like I said, you interact with fans off the Twitter. And I've noticed that you make sure that you're really honestly you interact with them to keep that fan base strong. My question, though, is do you feel that, you know what, these particular fights that the in-house are not allowing you to pick a fight with, do you think that it could damage your reputation of being that throwback fighter where the fans could start voicing out, like, you know what, Berto, he's a ducker. He's became a Floyd Mayweather. He doesn't want to take particular fights. Are you afraid that that stigma could be labeled on you at one point?
No, because, you know, we're getting to a point that a lot of these what they call the gatekeepers that they've been throwing me in with, I've been running through these guys, so it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be a choice but to throw me in there with the Cotto's, like the Pacquiao's and guys like that in due time. I mean, a lot of people, you know, be fair to realize when it comes to boxing, it's realistically you're only as good as your last performance. I mean, mm-hmm. You can have a guy like a Shane Mosley. That was everybody was pretty much just turned off of him and just saying this, saying that. Him to go in there and destroy a margarita and become a superstar overnight. I mean, a superstar overnight. So, you know, so that's something that I know and that I understand. So we're going to continue just doing what we do and going at our pace and picking the right opponents, because they can say what they say now, but as soon as I go in there and I fight a Cotto or fight like a Pacquiao and I destroy him, you know, I can be just Mr. Superstar overnight. So,
right.
You know, so when it comes to boxing, I mean, you can't really, you know, I say this to say that, you know, you can't really worry about too much on what the people try to press you to do to a point. But me, I'm a crowd pleaser. I want to try to make sure that the people get all of me, and that's my problem, because I try to, you know, I want to try to get in there as much as possible, fight the people that they want me to fight, this and that. But, you know, I have a great team, and they've shown, you know, throughout the years that they've, you know, done a great job with working with the guys, you know, like the Floyd Mayweathers and Jermaine Taylors, you know, that they can do what they do. I just have to be patient, you know. So, I mean, so that's the process right now. But, you know, but just like I said, it's getting to a point right now that I've been taking out all of these gatekeepers. I've been doing what I do, And it's almost about that time. I mean, you know, HBO is calling for it. People is calling for it. You know, but then again, like, I'm my own boss, and I have a tremendous team that I work with, and we're going to do what we need to do.
Trey.
Go for it.
See how popular you are, Trey? See how popular you are, brother. Everybody wants to jump in and ask you a question right now.
Trey, real quick, this weekend you saw not one but possibly two prospective opponents. What were your thoughts about Alfredo Pereira Angulo and more specifically Tim Bradley? I know that Tim had been calling out the welterweights, and I just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
You know, Angulo, he did a good job. You know, he pretty much... You know, the same old Angulo, man. He goes in there and, you know, puts that pressure in. He has really, really heavy hands. And, you know, it took his guy out in impressive fashion. You know, I want to see him when he has to fight Sergio Martinez or somebody like that. That's going to give him movement. That's going to give him a little bit of angles that makes it a little bit more difficult for him. But as of right now, he's been chopping away at the competition. You know, he fought, you know, Kermit Cintron, came out with a loss, but he's been coming back pretty strong. You know, Timothy Bradley, you know, which is a really good friend of mine. You know, he called me right after the fight. You know, he looked sharp. You know, he looked good at 47. And you know, we're gonna see where that goes. I mean, he automatically, when people see him, they automatically wanted, you know, I mean, it's me and him to fight. And we spoke about it, and, you know, this is a business, so, you know, that's definitely a fight that might be, you know, in the future. You know, me and him, we're not, you know, strangers of each other at all. You know, we fought twice in the amateurs, you know, like to get to the Olympic trials, actually, and, you know, it's going to be a good competition if that happens here in the near future. But we're not in a rush to do it. You know, we'd rather, you know, clean up the rest of the division and you know, meet up when it's real lucrative. But we'll see what happens.
This is Gabe again. Last question. First, I wanted to thank you for clearing up this step aside thing. It's always nice to scoop Ernie's favorite writer on ESPN. You got an interesting situation. You know, you've got at welterweight, you got Floyd and Manny, who are kind of the superstar status. You got yourself, who's a rising star, and then you've kind of got everybody else. It's kind of thinning out right now. You know, Mosley's moving to 154. See, below you at 140, you've got a plethora of guys to fight, and at 154, it's starting to heat up too. And James Kirkland's coming back, so it's getting even hotter. Which direction, if you had your choice, would you go, up or down? If you had to get, you know, to go after the big fight,
you know, pretty obviously, much either way. You know, either way, realistically, I mean, like you said, you know, 140, we have you know, tremendous young and up and coming stars. You know, at 47, we still have some guys that we can make some noise with. And at 54, you know, I didn't know Shane was going to try to stay up at 54, but it's a lot of competition. So I'm in a good place right now. I mean, you know, 47, you know, I'm right there, you know, near the top, you know, but if I had to fight at a catch weight at 140 for a big one, I'd definitely do that. If I got to go up to 54, you know, I mean, I'm not a stranger of that. I fought, you know, 156 in the amateurs. So, you know, so either way, I'm good. Either way, I'm good, and I'm just going where the competition is.
That's a nice spot to be in, man. You're just kind of sitting on the hill watching the landscape kind of shift, basically.
Exactly. So, you know, you have to stay, I mean, you know, you've been in a position like this, man, you have to stay relaxed. You know, a lot of young fighters, you know, just getting the exposure, getting the money or getting, you know, everything else, you know, like I am. I mean, you know, it's real easy to get off that track and get off that game plan. You know, so you have to stay relaxed. You have to let your team do their job. And they have to just know what you want, you know. So it's coming. I promise everybody it's coming, you know, here soon. And it might be here, you know, for this next fight, actually. You know, we've been negotiating. And, you know, if it goes a certain way that we believe that it's going to go, it's going to be really, really, really big news. So everybody just stay tuned.
You know, Dre, man, I appreciate you, brother, coming on here and just being – utterly honest with us. You know, I know there was some real tough questions that we had asked you, you know, and we were probing and picking, and I think you gave us the best answers that any of us can ask for. Definitely gave us some stuff to write about, that's for sure.
Without question, man. Thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure talking with you again.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, and if you guys want to follow Dre, you can on his Twitter at Andre Berto, all capital letters. Hey, Dre, I'm the guy that's tweeting you back on the all capital letters of LIITR Boxing, leaving the ring, boxing, you know, and sometimes I give you a hard time, but you always come back gracefully, man. A true gentleman in boxing.
Definitely, definitely. Appreciate everybody, man, for and continue following me on Twitter, at Andre Berto. You know, I come with the exclusive news and just the funny acts. But yeah, I appreciate you guys for having me, man. We'll be back as soon as possible. The arm is feeling a lot better. So, yeah, I'm just ready to get back and just bring in that action, that, you know, that real hardcore action that I used to. So I'm excited.
Hey, before I let go, I got a miss for do you have anything to say to Luis Collazo real quick? I said, do you have anything to say to Luis Collazo? Come on, Dre. You know we had to ask you at least a little bit about Luis,
yeah,
man.
Too much to say about, you know what I mean, like Collazo, but like I said, he had his chance. It was a good fight, you know. But he has a lot to say, but a lot of people don't. Like I said, it goes again. That is behind the scenes, but a lot of people really don't know that I tried my best. My team tried our best to have the rematch right after the fight. But Luis Collazo kind of outbidded himself and just really thought that he's supposed to be getting more money than I was supposed to get for the rematch. So,
can't do that.
Yeah, so, you know, just dealing with a network like HBO, you know, they weren't having it and we kept it moving. So he kind of lost his spot, and now he's trying to reach back for it. But we're on to bigger and better things now.
Well, it sounds to me, Dre, he needs your management team on his side.
That's what it sounds like, but hey, man, you snooze, you lose, baby. We got to keep it moving.
I heard that, man. Hey, can you give us real quick a plug on your Haiti fund so that if listeners want to make some donations to keep helping out what has happened out in Haiti to rebuild what has been put down out there?
Okay, yeah, just continue you know, just going on my website, you know, AndreBurtos.com. We got some info there. You can actually just mail in donations, and I'm also just continue just doing a lot of, you know, events around the country. I just did a big comedy show out in L.A. for, you know, for the foundation. And you know, actually I'm going to Jamaica next week. I'm doing a big, you know, charity event with the reggae artist Shaggy. And I'll be in Montreal, Canada, actually for the Chad Dawson and John Pascal fight, and we have some things going on there. But they can continue just checking up on my website, AndreBurtos.com, or continue following me on Twitter to get more information.
Absolutely, brother. Hey, man, thank you again for taking the time and speaking to us, Berto.
No problem, man. Y'all take it easy.
You too.
All right, take care, champ.
I don't know, bro.
You know, if there's one thing about this sport of boxing, you definitely get a handful, not a small pinch, but a handful of gentlemen in the sport of boxing. As brutal and as, you know, bloody as it can get, and as, you know, verbal it can get between the two fighters before they decide to engage each other, I got to tell you, when you meet them face-to-face or you have a chance to talk to them, they are true class, you know. There are some guys that you can pick up and say, okay, not the greatest dude in the world, but more likely you're going to walk away with a smile. If you have a particular fighter that you don't like personally because you've seen him on television and you've seen the way he's been doing certain things, when you meet him up in person, you might have a little bit of a change of heart because you get to see what the person is outside the ring and away from the camera. You know, a perfect prime example, I'll give you a perfect example. My second major interview was with Antonio Margarito, and it was set up by my man here, you know, Ernesto. He helped me out get this, you know, a while back when, you know, I was just doing YouTube videos. And I got to tell you, Antonio, regardless of what has happened with the Place de Paris and et cetera, and, you know, being called Margot Cheeto and, you know, everything else that has been thrown at him, the book, outside the ring. Hey, one hell of a guy, man. I thought it was one nice guy. I had a chance to have great conversations, not just about life, but also in boxing. And that's basically what we had a chance to do with Berto. You know, he was honest.
Yep. I agree.
He was just, you know, honest. He could have, you know, he could have dodged the question.
He could have lied.
Yeah, he could have basically said that, hey, there was no negotiations. What are you guys talking about? I don't know nothing.
Yeah, he could have lied. Honestly, he could have, when it comes to, you know, the question, because it's obvious, you know, since he's a Heyman fighter, you know, there are other Heyman fighters that are in that division that are tasty as far as matchups are concerned. And he admitted it. There's just something out there that we cannot really, you know, break. And I respect that, and I honor that. And, you know, it may not be the answer we want to hear, but it's the answer that he gave us. And you know what? It's refreshing to see an honest approach for a change.
That's interesting. Him and Danny Jacobs. You know, Danny's less flamboyant in terms of he's not, you know, going crazy on. He's not going crazy, but, you know, not hanging out in Hollywood, not kind of the kind of paparazzi kind of guy that Berto was supposed to be coming. But, you know, but both of them.
Why are you
guys
hating on Henry,
man?
Stop hating on Henry.
But when you talk to both these guys, they're character guys. You know, they come from solid families that really, you know, love them, take care of them, or connected with them. And they train hard, and they do their work, you know, and yeah, they've got the best representation in boxing right now, arguably, you know, next to maybe being in top rank. So you can't really fault them. You can't knock the hustle. You know, you have to knock the whole system, you know, the HBO overpaying and making it so these guys won't. You know, the one thing we didn't get to ask him about was the Shane negotiations the second time around. That actually kind of slipped my mind. But
Call him back. Let me call him back.
One more hardball for you.
One more hardball for you.
Well,
why not?
You know, when you think about it, though, I mean, it's not necessarily on him to say, oh, no, I refuse your $1.2 million for this fight. Give me less because I don't think I deserve it. It's up to HBO to actually to rein in what they pay these guys. I mean,
well, yeah, to buy card.
You know? If you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, no, I don't want to take your $2 million because I don't feel like I deserve it, then you know what? You might as well just quit the sport right now because it is your business. This is how you make your living. And if HBO is willing to give him $2 million, then, you know, he'd be remiss not to take it. You know, it's just, you know, I think we do too much blaming the promoters and the managers and the fighters for the greed. Well, someone's got to give him this money. Someone's got to be willing to give him this money. And it seems like HBO has been all too happy to step up to the plate and say, oh, yeah, we've got millions here. Let me spend.
True. Yeah. Absolutely true. You know, there's always more to the story, like my old man used to tell me. There's two sides to a coin, mijo. Two sides to a coin. The Cobra, Carl Froch, heads out to his training camp, joining highly regarded trainer Rob McCracken at the English Institute of Sport in Sheffield, England, on Monday morning. He set out to be there on the 26th of this month for a 10-week intense training camp to be ready for his mega showdown with hard-hitting King Arthur Abraham. It's to be set in Monaco Saturday, October 2nd. It's a fight that I'm really looking forward to. I'm hoping that Carl throws out the jab and just says, F it. Let's just mix it up. Let's give us three traditional hard rounds a la Hearns and Hagler. Just duke it out. Give us back what we've been asking for as a hardcore boxing fan. That's what I want. Whether I get it, I don't know. A lot of things, you know. What do you guys think?
We were talking about. We're always kind of talking about reform. I don't know about the 15 rounds, but like some sort of league or some sort of like the thing they've got going right now with the promoters commission or the promoters association, where they're all kind of having these banding together and. They're having these like kind of secret meetings talking about, I'm not really sure what, if they're reforming the sport or whatever. But I think that's kind of an interesting first step towards kind of consolidating everything. You know, like we always talk about right now, all these guys don't want to risk against each other. They're all, fighting their own fighters. Even Gary Shaw, who sat there and said, there's these two leagues, Top Rank and Golden Boy. Well, he had just matched his own fighter, Louis Abreu, against Tim Bradley, who also, you know, co-promotes. Everybody's kind of doing it. At some point, it's going to come to a head. You know, we don't need one super fight, but we need a lot of little good fights.
We do. We need a lot of good fights, a lot of little good fights, just to keep, you know, just to have an understanding that there's just not one major fight for the mainstream to keep thinking like, oh, they need this fight to keep the sport alive. There's a lot of great fights out there to be materialized, you know. And at one point when the MMA scene came out and they were, you know, stacking up their cards and they were throwing pay-per-views here and there, I applaud them because for the moment they had awakened the sleeping giants. We were getting great fights put together, but now it seems like the sleeping giant has gotten a new comforter, new pillows, and a new spot to sleep in. You know, they got to wake up. Well, they got to see there's things out there that need to be done.
We do have one that just got announced. looks like Iron Boy is going to finally face Giovanni Segura.
That is a great fight. And just a quick announcement, we got Iron Boy and Giovanni to be on next week to talk to us a little bit about this matchup.
Oh, that's going to be great. I can't wait to talk to both guys.
I got to talk to Giovanni today. We did an interview, and just like right before we did the show, about an hour. And he's really excited, man. He kind of knows where he's at as a fighter, that he's kind of these guys are like total polar opposites. In Iron Boy, you've got like the perfect pure boxer, no power at all. And then on the other end, you've got Segura, who is, you know, the antithesis of that, just pure brawler, and with dynamite in both fists. I mean, it's perfect. It's positive and negative. I think the older legs of Calderon, you know, I don't know if they're going to hold up under Segura, who's got a good chin to go with his power, man.
Yeah, he's got a solid beard. A lot of people don't realize is that, you know, the style that he has. Hold up.
Real quick. We got a guest on the line right now. Omar Henry, are you there, brother?
I'm here. What's going on, man?
What's going on? How you doing, man?
I'm doing real great, man. I heard my name was mentioned on here, so I had to call in, man. I was getting a million text messages.
Hey, your name is being mentioned all over the place on Leaving the Ring today, brother. You know,
I heard. What's going on? Everybody in boxing is talking about me, man.
Hey, everybody in boxing, you know, this is the thing we were talking about. And Omar, I hope you don't take this offensively or anything like that, but, you know, we were saying, what other guy that we know right now that has 10-0 and is being pumped up as much as they are? Is this bad for you? And is your mind really in boxing, or is your mind being a celebrity?
See, I'm glad I'm on this radio station. I want to get everything straight. My mind is in boxing, okay? People don't understand. I just had a fight at San Antonio. Then I went on vacation. I was on vacation for a week, and people, I was getting criticized like crazy. Oh, man, what's going on with Omar Henry? He's out there with Lindsay Lohan. He's out there in Hollywood.
You're
what?
On TMZ,
I'm on vacation,
brother,
for a week.
But you were on TMZ. I think what a lot of fight fans are looking at certain things. They're going like, man, this guy is pumping himself so much. Could the head be a little too swollen? I don't know. What do you think?
No. That's a lie. First of all, I was on TMZ because TMZ knew who I was. Forget what TMZ said. TMZ came to me, and they wanted to interview me. Okay? So me being on TMZ, that has nothing to do with anything. They came up to me. Anybody can't just get on TMZ. You know, you can't just get on TMZ right now like, hey, Kay, get me on the camera. No, that's not possible.
Right,
you know,
you have
to be some kind of, how can I put it, some kind of way in the media somehow. Yeah, you got to be somewhere. You said that. You got to be somewhere in the media, man. You have to be, you know, you have to be famous.
Right.
You have to be somewhere that people know you. And they knew who I was, and they interviewed me. So I'm getting criticized. I got on TMZ. What do you mean they interviewed me? I had no idea this was going to happen like this. So
that
all the people,
actually,
the critics that's talking stuff, saying I think I'm a celebrity doing this, I don't think about boxing, that's a lie. I was on a one-week vacation. I deserved it. I'm 10-0 now, so people need to relax.
Omar, this is Gabe Montoya with Max Boxing. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I can actually confirm what he's saying. I actually did an interview with Ronnie Shields that came out today. Talked to him yesterday. And I asked him about Omar.
What?
And he said,
you're the one that was saying most of the bad stuff about Omar.
Yeah, Gabe's a hater, too. He's on the cover hater.
I'm leading into my question. But yeah, you know, Ronnie did say that he's in the gym and he's looking good, he's working, and that, yeah, the reports of him being living out here are not true. But I have a question, man. I did hear from a good source that, you know, you sat down with Top Rank and they were a little concerned about your newfound fame. Is there any truth to that?
No, that's a lie. That's a big lie.
No, so at no point, no point at the suits in Top Rank sat you down and said, Omar, you got to stop. You got to quit.
No, not even once. Matter of fact, Top Rank loved me being on TMZ so much, they put it on their website.
I would wonder that. Why would they tell you to stop? I mean, isn't that publicity for them?
Yeah.
It makes their job easier to market you out there for, you know, as a fighter?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at this. I'm on my vacation. The whole time I'm on vacation, I'm being talked about in the boxing scene. I don't even supposed to be known. Like I say, it's true. I mean, I only got 10 fights, and, you know, just like people said, what other fighter has 10 fights and that everybody's talking about him when he goes on vacation? What other fighter doing that? We have prospects here in Houston that they go on vacation for a week. Nobody's going to be saying anything about it. That just goes to show you how big I am in boxing when it comes to that. I mean, that's the truth. You got blogs, they're saying this, they're saying that. Really? You know? So, you know, it's a gift and a curse at the same time.
Does it get underneath your skin a little bit that maybe – I mean, let me ask you this. 10-0, and you're saying it, you said it right now. What other prospect out there is getting this type of attention? I go on vacation, and I'm hearing all this stuff. I'm seeing all this stuff. Does it kind of now kind of backfire in you and thinking like, oh, man, you know what? I might be coming up too much in a hurry. I don't like this publicity.
No, I just said I got to get used to it anyway because I know eventually I'm going to be a mega pay-per-view superstar. So, you know, eventually anything I'm going to do anyway is going to be on there. So I'm just already getting ready for it already. And this, you know, at first when people started talking stuff, I was, like, confused because I had a lot of people turn on me that supposedly supported me. I'm like, huh? So at first it got under my skin. So eventually, you know, I was talking to other people, talking to close friends. Like, oh, my, what are you talking about? This is amazing. Like, are you serious? I mean, you know, just like we just said, with 10 fights and all these people care about you that much, they making blogs and they talking all on boxing about you, all these websites, and, oh, my God, they're saying so much about you, you know. I mean, prospects wish they had your life. They wish that anything they do can be publicized or anything like that. This is great. So I just turn it in, you know, I just turn around like that and look like, oh, man, this is actually a blessing in disguise. So anything I do is going to be even hyped up even more. So eventually, you know, for my fights and everything, people are more going to pay attention. Like, oh, yeah, I want to see Omar lose. Who is this guy? He thinks he's great, you know. You know, but they're going to be buying my fights eventually. You know what I mean? So it's kind of it's a gift and a curse in a way. So it's just, you know, blessing to me.
Omar, hey, you know, this is Ernie from Boxing Scene. Hey, so, you know, all the BS aside, all the innuendos, rumors, and all that good stuff, when can we see you back in the ring again? Because you had an active schedule prior to this. You were very active. And then it kind of relaxed a little bit, and you know, you took your vacation time off. And basically what I guess we want to say now is, when can we see Omar back in the ring?
Oh, well, the reason why I got off because a lot of fighters was pulling out of my fights, you know. I suppose really been fighting every month. But, you know, due to publicity with my name, even before the TMZ and all this kind of stuff, fighters were back out the last minute watching my YouTube highlights. And, you know, me being talked about on these websites. So that's the reason when it comes to me not fighting as consistent as I used to be because of, you know, what's going on with me. But I've supposed to be fighting next month, August 14th in Laredo, Texas. I'm not sure what's going on. I heard that I might not be on the card anymore. I don't know what the opponent situation is going on, anything like that, but I'm training hard. As you see, you know, a lot of people still think I'm in Hollywood. They still think I'm with Lindsay Lohan right now eating, you know, Chinese food. You know, so... it's just crazy, man. But I've been back and I've been training for my next fight, and you know, and I'm just waiting. I don't know. It just all depends, man.
Hey, let me ask you a little bit about that Lindsay Lohan, real quick, brother. So you're out there and you're showing your support, man. I mean, how was it? I mean, what advice? Let me ask you first off. Have you ever been in trouble with the law?
Never.
Never. So what advice can you give a blonde like that, you know, that's going to go walk into the jail, man? I mean, what do you tell her? You know what I mean? Like, hey, you can't tell her drop the soap. What exactly do you tell her? Hey, don't lay down on your back, you know?
You're crazy. Actually, I did talk to her, and we talked and stuff like that, and I mentioned, I was like, I don't know, you know, I just told her, I was like, when you get in there, you know, try not to talk to anyone, you know, and just stay strong. That's what I told her, you know, and I taught her how to throw a right hand. Like, I gave her a little boxing move, you know. I told her which way if you ever get into a fight, you know. Even though she's not, you know, we're just joking around about it, making her laugh. But she's in solitary confinement, you know. I talked to her dad yesterday, you know, when she went to jail and stuff like that. And, you know, he's, you know, of course, upset about what's going on and everything like that. And, you know, she'll be all right. She's in solitary confinement, you know. There's nothing going to happen to her.
So let's go into talking boxing just for a minute with you, brother. Now that we got you on, and you know, and you basically came on, you say, okay, I heard of this and that. Let's clear the air, you know. But you know, that's one thing that we got to do. We got to talk. You know, that's our job. We got to talk. So your name popped up, and we had to talk about your name. You know,
really, but my name popped up earlier. What were people saying?
No, we brought it up. That's what we do. We bring it up.
What were y'all saying?
Look, Omar, we brought you up so that we can get you to call in.
I see. I got so many people texting me and calling me. Hey, man, they talking about you. Like, oh my God, not again. Please, not another Lindsay Lohan question. But no, it's all good, man. I love it. Like I say, I'm not even boxing. I'm not even fighting, you know, anything like that. But the whole boxing world is still talking about me. So it's a blessing once again.
Absolutely, it's a blessing and stuff, you know. But going back again, and at the pace that you want to go in, and I know what fight you're talking. August 14th, it's Mike Lee. You know, the Notre Dame is supposed to be, you know, headlining that or be on that card. I don't know if he's going to headline it or not, but he's supposed to be on that card. Now, in terms of like you said, you know, I'm having problems getting a fight out there. The publicity obviously has kind of burnt your way of continuing and keeping busy, right? So, in terms of getting another fighter in the ring, does this mean you need to turn around and get maybe an ex-champion to step in so early in your career so that you can get the work that you need in that ring?
Probably so. You know, I was just talking to one of my friends. I said, I wouldn't mind fighting E.J. Smith or someone like that. You know, because I know they wouldn't turn it down, you know, because I feel like I'm on that level already. You know, I can fight these top guys, you know, like I said. I already sparred with tough guys from Andre Berto to Danny Jacobs, you know, all those type, Kermit Cintron, Vernal Phillips, all those type guys, and I've more than held my own, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'm just steady progressing the gym, and I'm just, you know, ready to, you know, finally step it up even more. I've been ready to do it, you know. And I think eventually that's going to happen. I'm going to have harder fights, more rounds and stuff like that, but that's what I've been waiting for. So eventually I guess that's what they're going to have to do, you know, starting to match me against, you know, veterans, you know, like – probably Grady Brewer or something like that. You know what I mean? One of the, you know, top guys that used to be, and you know, veterans. So,
you know, yeah. the fighter that comes into mind that has done that, that I can kind of just go in my head real, Fernando Vargas, you know, was kind of a guy they used to call them, they kind of called him a baby in the sport, but he was doing things in the ring that a more of a mature fighter has done. Is that kind of more or less what you're looking at that you want to mimic is what Fernando Vargas did in his career but not end it the way Fernando Vargas had to end it?
Well, I really don't know how Fernando Vargas' career really was. I know he had a good start or anything. I definitely don't want to end my career. Like, I know how it ended.
Right.
But I don't know. I just want to carve out my own legacy, man, you know. Yeah, and like I said, it's been a blessing actually since I turned pro, you know. Ever since my first pro fight, I've been compared to a world champion. You know, Miguel Cotto, that was my first comparison you see on YouTube, me and my pro debut. He's like, oh, man, he moved just like Miguel, and he has a great style. He looks so, you know, already like he's been boxing, you know, for years, you know, as a pro. So, I don't know. I'm just looking out to carve my own legacy. And, yeah, eventually just, you know, just kind of like Fernando, I guess you said, you know, fight, you know, old top contenders or people, you know, that definitely give you rounds and has a name, you know. I'm definitely looking forward to that round.
You started out, you were with Ronnie Shields at Savannah's. Now you're not with him, but you're still working out at the gym. Who are you training with at this point?
I'm training with Hylan Williams Sr. He was the guy to train me since I was an amateur. So.
Oh, and he was the guy, he's with Danny Jacobs as well, right?
No, he's not with Danny Jacobs. He came down here for sparring, but he's not with him.
Oh, well, yeah, you know what, that's where I heard that name. My bad. What's that? How was that like, that switch over from Ronnie to Highland? Does it just feel like the same? Or is
it just feel like the same. Yeah, it feel like the same because, you know, Ronnie, in general, he was already always busy with top fighters, you know what I mean? And sometimes we couldn't work with each other. And I had to train with Big Sid anyway. We call him Big Sid, Highland Williams. That's his nickname, Big Sid. So, I mean, it was feel like the same, you know. I mean, still, for every fight, Ronnie only came to me for, like, I think two out of all my fights, he only came to like two. You know, it was other Big Sid in the corner. So it really wasn't a big difference, you know. It's all about the fighter and how he trains. You know, Big Sid, he's been there since the amateurs, and he's a top coach already anyway. So, I mean, it's a blessing. So, yeah, I mean, everything's the same.
I heard you got a new nickname out there, too. what they're calling you. Hollywood Henry now.
Hollywood Henry, you know, like I said. People just going to make anything up. It's all good. They say what they want, you know what I mean?
It
you know,
seem like a,
after
like
my
a
next
client,
I'll go to Hollywood again since they love it so much.
Is it a million miles away in terms of just how different it is from where you're from, Los Angeles? Does it seem like
a
different
place? It's really different. I mean, you know, it was great. You know, like I said, I had a great experience. I had, you know, I was really surprised. You know, I had so many celebrities that actually knew who I was. You know, there's no coincidence. How did y'all see me with all these celebrities uploading pictures with them? They knew who I was. They contacted some of my people and was like, yo, I heard Omar Henry's in town and stuff like that. And then we got up with them and, you know, I chilled with them and stuff like that. You know, so that's another blessing. You know, I only got, once again, I only have 10 fights. And, you know, I think that's another thing. I think it's people's jealousy. I think it's jealousy. Really, people have been hating, you know, because they're like, oh, man, what's going on with him? You know, I feel like if I didn't upload no pictures with any other celebrities, upload pictures with other celebrities and stuff like that, I would have never got the kind of the twisted part about, oh, why I was out there in Hollywood. It wouldn't been nothing like that. But since I uploaded pictures with other celebrities, like, ugh, I don't like that. You know, if people wish they was, you know, chilling with NFL players and Hollywood actresses and actors and stuff like that. People wish that. And I just feel like it was kind of jealousy in a way as well. So, you know,
Omar, do you think that, okay, it could be jealousy, or do you think that some fight fans are looking at it like, you know what, we like our traditional Latinos to just keep it boxing, strictly boxing?
Yeah, well, maybe it could be that too as well. I mean, I don't know, people are old school, like I said. It doesn't matter. People don't understand. Fighters probably been doing this, but they don't know because they didn't have Twitter and Facebook and MySpace back in the day. Think about that. You know what I mean? Pretty sure Mike Tyson did a lot of stuff y'all probably never knew about. You know what I mean? Then on top of that, I wasn't doing anything bad. Okay, no. I was hanging out in Hollywood. I was relaxing, but I was on vacation. This was time to relax. I wasn't out drinking or, you know, doing drugs, anything like that. I was relaxing, having a good time. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't do anything bad. You know, I deserved that. So, you know, fight fans got to think about that, you know?
Omar, this is Ernie with Boxing Scene. In your trip to Hollywood, there's a picture of you and Freddie Roach. What was it like, first off, and I'll go there a little bit, but first off, how was it like to see a gym as
active,
as competitive, as just grueling as Wild Card? What were your thoughts going into that?
Nothing really, because I'm used to that down here in my gym. You know, Savannah's Boxing Gym, this is one of the best boxing gyms in the nation as well. You know, so I'm used to the atmosphere. I mean, we have all types of world champions come down here to train and, you know, top competitors and all that stuff. So I'm used to seeing, like, big names and, you know, just a gym that's packed and so much, you know, talent there. So it was just, like, regular, you know. It was just, you know, I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, I wasn't amazed because, you know, I don't have a small gym. Savannah Boxing Gym is sponsored by Everlast, you know, sponsors it through Juan Diaz and stuff like that. So we have a huge gym. It's real nice and, you know, we have, like I said, top champions and contenders that came on there before and, you know, trained down there. So, you know, it wasn't a real difference for me.
Now, I did bring up the Freddie Roach picture. Now, were you there just chewing his ear? Is there something going on in the future for something like that? I know that you say you're trained by Highland Williams Sr., and I think Jay Johns is involved somewhere, too, as well.
Yeah, he's a manager.
Yeah, now is that something you would discuss with Jay, you know, if you wanted to move on? What was your impressions of Freddie?
Oh, I love Freddie. I see Freddie all the time because, you know, he has a top-ranked fighters from Jose Benavidez and different fighters like that. So he's mostly like – and Chavez Jr. So he's like always at all my fights. So I always talk to Freddie, and he's always a great guy. And we were just talking regular, and, you know, it's a lot of things discussed. You know, I can't lie. It was some things discussed about me living down there and training down there. But, you know, I haven't made no decisions yet. And, yes, that can be a possibility in the future.
Let me ask you just a real quick question. Did you like the last outfit I made for you?
Huh? Which outfit?
Your trunks, your outfit. I'm the one who made your outfit.
Oh, really? Thanks, man.
Yeah,
yeah, tight, I loved them. They looked just like the Chicago Bulls thing. I was when Jay showed me, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Thanks, man. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
my pleasure.
This
pleasure.
Looked great, man. Really appreciate it a lot.
Omar, real quick before we let you go, brother, you know, seeing that, you know, what some people were saying and, you know, basically hating on you. You came out of Hollywood, and it sounds to me you were showing your experience. You know, you were excited. You know, being a young man, you're like, hey, I'm gonna share this with everybody. Now
yeah,
that it's happened, you know, now that it's happened, does it now make you maybe rethink sharing what your experience is all about? Because how people can certainly be.
Yeah, it actually shows how people can turn on you, you know, just like turn on Jesus, you know what I mean? First they were asking for healing, and next thing you know, they were saying, yeah, crucify him. So it just shows, like, wow, people really can turn on you. I never really got that throughout my life, that, you know, people can show so much support in the beginning, and next thing you know, they like, oh, man, he's crazy. He thinks he's this. He thinks he's this. I'm like, what the heck? Like, huh? You know me better than that. I'm not thinking nothing. You know, I'm on vacation. So they just show me how people can turn. And I don't know. I think I'll upload pictures again if I go back out there. I feel like it's not nobody's business. They shouldn't even care. They should be loving it. You know, a lot of people did love it. Like, oh, I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. You know, you deserve it. You know, it's only a week off, you know.
Perfect.
You know, you deserve it and everything like that, you know. So all the other people that are saying negative stuff, you know, I mean.
Omar, perfect picture right here, bro. Perfect. I'll give you, come back to Hollywood, perfect picture right there. And you'll have the whole world hating on you, but that's okay. See, because they'll buy all your fights and all that when you do go to pay-per-view. But this is the perfect picture. On Venice Beach with Lindsay Lohan, Kim Kardashian, get Salma Hayek, get all the beautiful women out there in bikinis in the middle. You know, that's the perfect picture.
I know, yeah, man. I was chilling with the Kardashians, too. They're good people, man. I met them as well. They knew who I was, Rob Kardashian, you know, their brother. He's a fan of mine, you know what I mean? He follows me on Twitter and stuff like that,
you
and I got a chance to meet everybody.
The brother that ate the canvas? He ate the canvas, right?
Yeah, that one. I told him, I said, man, I got to teach you how to box, man. And he started laughing. You know?
Omar, you got to be careful, Omar. If you keep hanging out with Lindsay Lohan, they're going to start calling you Olo.
Oh, no. No, man. She's a good girl. People try to crucify her for what she's doing. I mean, she makes mistakes just like anybody else, man. You know, she's human. She's just a celebrity, so it's
heightened
up even more. You know what I mean? Everywhere we went, it was paparazzi following us. You know, I was like, oh, my God. This is like, I couldn't handle
it's
this.
It's pretty
like,
bizarre, isn't it? The first time I saw paparazzi out there, I didn't know. It was like I was near Paris Hilton, and all of a sudden it was like they got there before she did. It was like a swarm of cameras, like 20 dudes just running up on you. You're like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. And then, like, a famous person walks up. And you're like, oh, this is really fucking weird, you know?
Yeah. It was pretty weird for me. Seriously, I'm not going to front. You know, TMZ knew who I was. You know what I mean? They came up to me and stuff like that. And it was pretty crazy. Like, wow. Like, I had to whisper, like, wow, y'all guys really knew who I was? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Even though they tried to turn around when they aired it on TMZ, you know, for laughs. But they interviewed me, they knew who I was. You know, I was inside the courtroom with Lindsay Lohan. Even when I went in, listen, before I even got inside the courtroom, it was like, obviously a guard right there. He was like, who are you? You know, because there was only a handful of people. This was like on CNN. This was televised everywhere, so anybody just couldn't be in the courtroom. And I just said, yo, I'm Omar Henry, you know. And he shook his head like, okay, I know who you are. And then he just told me, sit down, you know. And I was like, wow. You know?
There you go. Oh, shit. There you go, brother. I mean, you know, hey, I appreciate you calling in, you know. I thank you for calling in, you know. We almost got our asses kicked, but it's okay.
No, it's all good, man. I just wanted to clear the rumors out, you know, a little bit. And let people know, you know, I'm still focused. It wasn't – people was acting like I was, like, training for a fight and I'm out there in Hollywood. I wasn't training for no fight. I didn't have no fight coming up. I was just relaxing, you know, just like anybody else would do.
Well, you might be training for a fight if you're hanging out too late in Hollywood, you know, at nighttime. The freaks be coming out, bro. You really gotta watch out.
No comment. But yeah, I had fun, man. Hopefully next time I go, I get to meet Kobe. So that's the plan next.
There you go, man. Well, there you go. Omar Henry calls in and leaves it in the ring and clears out the rumors and tells everybody, don't worry, you know.
You guys gotta tune in. You never knew who's gonna call in.
Exactly.
Wasn't it a couple weeks ago we had Celestino Caballero?
Yep.
You never know who's going to call in, man. You guys
from a payphone. He called from a payphone.
That's gangster right there.
At the airport, ready to jump on an airplane, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah, y'all definitely got a lot of viewers because I got loaded with messages and calls. I was like, wow, okay, so let me get on my BlackBerry, and I had to hit y'all up.
And we'll hit us right back on Twitter, brother, because I'm following you on there, you know, leaving in the ring. So, you know, we can
okay,
keep
send me a send me a tweet. Send me a tweet, and I'm going to hit you back and follow you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, like I said, bro.
But that's how it started in the first place, Omar.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
That's crazy, man.
I'm giving you a hard time on that one, man.
Hey, Omar, this, you know what? And you tell Henry, I mean, I tell Ernie right here, with your new trunks and stuff, put Hollywood this time. You know?
No, I'm not going to go with Hollywood Henry, man.
Okay, put no Hollywood Henry. How about that? No Hollywood Henry.
If I'm fighting Lindsay still in jail, I want to free Lindsay on my trunk.
Oh, with the chair face on the side, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
you know.
Omar, man. Hey, brother, it was a pleasure having you on, brother. It was all good, and I appreciate you coming on and speaking to us. And you know, hope to have you on again.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Thanks for all y'all support, and you know, I just want to tell people stop the hating, man. I'm still focused. Everything's still great. Please stop the hate, baby. That's
you
it.
Heard that, Gabriel and Ernie? Stop hating. Take
that's
it easy,
it.
Brother. All right.
God bless. Bye.
All right, man. Take care.
Hating is genetic with me, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. Spend a fight night with Gabe, and you'll find out.
Yeah. It's just like, wow. Do you like this?
What was I calling you, caustic? All night?
Caustic. The other night I became caustic. It's true. You guys kept feeding me beer, though. That's like feeding a gremlin after midnight. You know, that's just you're playing with your life at that point. You're definitely going to get me caustic. I think four beers and I become caustic.
You know, that's a little bit. That's a pretty good surprise there, you know, for, Omar Henry calling in. And, you know, like I said, you never know what's going to happen on Leaving the Ring. We've had so many things kind of pop off on Leaving the Ring. It's
including our reception.
Yeah, you know, being dropped off. That's the real word, being dropped off on Leaving in the Ring, you know. We do have another guest that's going to be calling in, Jesse Nicau. I'm not sure if I pronounced his last name, but he is a boxer, but he's doing MMA. He's kind of, you know, going back and forth and stuff, and we're going to get him on really quick, just talk to him really, really quick about his upcoming fight and, you know, find out, hey, how's the transition of doing this, you know? So let me get him on. Do I got you on the line, Jesse?
Yes.
How you doing, brother?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good. Now, Jesse, you're in boxing. You were 22-2-2, and you've been on Showbox and whatnot. Why the change? Why decide to go back? Why? I mean, not even go back. You were a wrestler, a good wrestler, but you said, hey, I'm going to try MMA. And you were successful. You had one good fight in MMA.
Yeah, I just saw my promoter, you know, he said, let's get a bigger fan base and we'll get your MMA fight. And I wasn't too sure about it because, like, I trained for MMA for about a year. Like, last year in boxing was, like, the hardest year of my life. And I couldn't get no boxing matches, so I just trained for MMA. And, guys would fall out at the weigh-ins or, you know, they'd make something up and not fight. And so I was like, all right, I'll get back in the boxing. And I got back in the boxing, and shortly after that, I was presented with, you know, do you really want to compete? And I was like, sure, why not?
Now, when you have to make that transition, let me be honest with you. Let me ask you this, okay? Because I know a lot of fight fans are going to be—they're frowning at it right now. They're like, you know, why do that? Why leave boxing and go to MMA? Is it money issue? I mean, you know, some fight fans think that, you know, boxing should just stay in boxing and MMA should stay on that other side of the fence.
Well, I'm looking at it like this. You know, I got a mortgage to pay, so it ain't like
exactly
for the fun of it. So. I don't really care what anybody says, but I just thought, you know, I enjoy fighting. I enjoy, you know, being able to wake up and do what I like to do. So, you know, I'll just keep doing it as long as my body will let me.
Now, in terms of being reserve, I know boxing is a known sport to have wear and tear. MMA, is there the same type of, you know, I don't know, sparring-wise? You know, is it something you have to go all out on, you know, or is it down on your back, you know, a different pace?
Yeah, I mean, like with the MMA, it's like more of a, you know, working on new things that we're going to be doing in the fight and you know, just working on wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and you know, my stand-up, of course, but I just, I guess in sparring, it's like, you know, you're not going all out, you're going 50-50 and, you know, just keying in on your skills and boxing is just pretty much the same thing, but, you know, I mean, you're only worrying about one thing, you're not worrying about elbows or knees or takedowns.
Now, when's your next matchup in MMA? When's that occurring?
Next Saturday in Ocean City, Maryland.
And do you know your opponent that you're going to be stepping in the ring with? Or in the cage?
No.
Do you like that better? Not knowing who you're going to step in with?
I don't really think it matters, because no matter what, I'm going to fight the way I want to fight. You know, if he wants to wrestle me, you know, I'm going to try to keep him at bay, but, you know, I want to go in there and fight my fight regardless.
Absolutely. Well, Jesse, wish you all the luck, brother, and hopefully you're successful on your second match in MMA, but hopefully you come back. Come back to the light. Start back to boxing, brother.
Yeah.
Well, that's the plan. I mean, I got an NABC title match in August, so, you know, hopefully everything goes good with this MMA fight, and, you know, I'll be getting ready for my boxing match.
Fantastic, and I'd love to have you on when you're getting ready for that matchup, where we could chop it up a little bit about that match. And hey, brother, you know, wish you all the luck in the world. Keep continuing what you're doing, and make sure you pay that mortgage.
All right, man, I appreciate it.
All right, brother, take it easy. Let's take some phone calls real quick, man. Let's get some. I know there was a bunch of calls popping in right away. Let's see who we got. We got D, who wants to talk about the Povetkin and Klitschko fight. D, what's up, brother? You're on live right now. I'm leaving in the ring.
What's going on, ref?
How you doing, brother?
Shoot, man. I'm doing all right, man. You know, it's just dude is a clown, man. I think Teddy Atlas is a clown, man. He, you know, got nerve to talk about Pacquiao. Just take the test, and he got emails from this dude and that person and all kind of mess. Sweep off your own doorstep before you go clowning other people. You follow me?
I heard that. Go cut your own lawn before you start pissing in mine.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. This dude, I'm back, what? They supposed to fought 2 years ago, man. I mean, you know, the heavyweight division ain't exciting. You know, we all acknowledge that. But this was one of the fights that should have happened. And I thought this was going to be it. Okay, he's under Atlas. Atlas done show him a few things.
But for his first Atlas, fight, D, let me ask you this. For his first fight, though, I mean, you think in some ways, I mean, you know, with Teddy, look, with Manny Pacquiao, take the test. He's over here. He's ranting about. But Manny's got a trainer that's been with him for so many plus fights. I mean, where Teddy, this is his one ticket of bringing back a heavyweight, and I can see where Teddy's looking at it going like this: hey, for our first fight, we're going to get the best fighter in the world as a heavyweight. Let's hold off. Let's wait. You know?
Well, I mean, but I look at it like this, though. They should have been unfought, though, you know? What, okay, if they wait another 6 more months, 8 more months, another year, well, I don't think he's going to make that much of a difference in as far as training, you know. I don't think he's going to make that much of a difference. Fight the man, you know. Have my partner say, get off the pot.
Piss or get off the pot.
Shit off, that's how it goes down, man. That's how I feel about it, you know. That's bull right there, man.
In the sense that the matchup was probably one of the more promising matchups we've seen recently, you know, but, you know, maybe Teddy saw something in there that he didn't like. And I know from day one, I mean, while we can discredit Teddy all we want, from day one, he had always said that he didn't really like this matchup for Povetkin this quick. So, you know, maybe he saw something later on in the progression of Povetkin that he just didn't see could be competitive with Vladimir. You know, and it's sad in the end, because now we're going to get the abortion that is Klitschko Peter 2. This time it's really, really going to be crappy. But, you know, if you're Povetkin's trainer and you see something that just isn't jiving with you, I think at some point you do have to step in. And maybe later on we do commend Teddy for stepping in and speaking up when maybe his trainer, his management, and his promotional team did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of their job to shield the fighter a little bit, you know, from a bad business move. To me, I just question the rankings. How did a guy get into this position? I mean, he's been a mandatory for 2 years. They've been making
this fight. Come on, man. That's what I'm talking about.
But, how did the management get him in that position? I mean, do you blame the fighter or do you blame the business of boxing? Because this guy's able to position himself so early in his career when he's clearly not ready to do it. I mean, he's got a lot of amateur fights, but, you know.
Well, there you go then. So shouldn't we applaud a little bit with Teddy Atlas if he's chirping in his ear saying, hey, you're not ready for this, you know? The politics got you here, not your hands.
Yeah, well, ultimately they hired him to be the trainer, and that's part of a trainer's job is to assess the opposition. Freddie Roach does it. A lot of trainers do it. So, if you hired him and you want to keep him, then probably you should listen to him.
I look at the whole situation. Since he's backing out of this, Teddy's saying he ain't ready, I don't think he should get a shot within the next couple of years. Start from bottom to bottom, and he should have to work and fight his way back up to the top and do it like that.
But unfortunately, there's four sanctioning bodies. I agree with you. I mean, I think he just shouldn't be in this position so soon. You know,
we saw this with Areola, if you really want to think about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now look at Chris. Chris is fighting on ESPN because of this. You know?
Absolutely. You know, and it's sometimes some choices that that are hard choices, and they have to be made. Whether we just don't really know what's in front of us until we decide to make that decision. And that's, you know, I hear what you're saying. You know, he has to work his way back in. But like we said, boxing politics got him in that position already. But I say, Pat, Teddy Atlas, if he is interfering, he is doing his job then. He sees something out there that, you know, most of us are seeing that, hey, he's not ready for the big boys at this moment. You know, he's going to be rushed like Eddie Chambers. He's going to be rushed like Chris the Nightmare. He's going to be rushed like so on and so on. We've seen this too many times in boxing that once they get a following – that, let's put him in there. Let's give him a shot, you know, because right now the division is so shallow. Right now this division is so open. Maybe it's not that open. You know, maybe we need another more 5 or 10 years down the line to find the right particular guy to take advantage of what the opportunities are obviously hanging by a neck. Hey, D, I appreciate you calling in, brother. I got to move on. Just stay on hold, though, okay? You know.
Thank you.
And I want to move on. Marcos Maidana, this is in the news. Marcos Maidana returns to the ring. And
he was actually in the Golden Boy offices today, I was told by several people. And he's actually at the Club Nokia fights tonight.
Ah, he's got a set schedule for August 28th. You know, after a serious management problems that he was going with, he was finally able to get the dustpan and clean what's in-house in order to get himself ready to step into the ring. The name of the opponent? It's Chop Chop DeMarcus Corley. I'm not really too excited about that one. Going from a Tim Bradley to a Chop Chop, it's one of those, you know. We got like 15 minutes left for the radio show. I want to kind of get into that, but then I also want to roll in right after immediately. Keep this really short because we do got a fight schedule to throw out there so the fight fans know to mark it on their calendar so they don't miss anything that's going to be happening tonight, Friday, and Saturday.
A couple of things, just news and notes. Jumping back to the Margarito thing, I really think Steve Kim kind of threw this theory out that Margarito's probably, you know, this is a leverage thing, the Monterey Stadium, that Bob is looking at that site and acting like that's going to be the site, but that really the site's probably going to be the MGM Grand. That Nevada's going to bend a little bit, give Margarito a one-fight-only license, and that probably is going to go through. So, you know, I would mark your calendar. Check your flight plans for November 13th in Vegas. The other thing was I talked to Mike Miller and Cameron Duncan, the managers for James Kirkland, and he gave me a Kirkland update. He's about 172 pounds right now. They moved him out of working in the kitchen, which was a big part of his weight problem. They're shooting for him to be like somewhere in the 160. He's going to get out October 2nd. Looking for an off-TV fight probably about 5 to 6 weeks after he gets out. Maybe another one. They're going to basically assess fight by fight. Then you might see him at a fight night club for a Golden Boy show, and then maybe a Telefutura, and then they're going to go for it. Hopefully, if everything goes according to plan. As for Ann Wolf being his trainer, Mike Miller was quoted to me as saying it's up to them. It's between James and Ann. So, and Cameron feels the same way. So there you have it.
Cool. Things I've heard, I got confirmation that the September 17th, the day before the Moira Mosley fight, there will be a show. It will be local to Los Angeles. It's going to be, you know, like they did, you know, they're going to tie it all together with the big Mexican Independence Day push. So it's going to be probably pretty heavy on the Mexican fighter. I was talking to Charles Huerta, and he was saying, should he get past, you know, his fight tomorrow against Carlos Arias, they might turn him around and put him on that show on September 17th. But I did get confirmation today from several Golden Boy people that it is going to happen. It is going to be September 17th. Whether it's going to be free or not, that's a different story. I'm not 100% sure. But there is going to be a show. Also, September 18th, they are definitely looking to add Abner Mares to the card. That already is supposedly going to include Canelo Alvarez and Victor Ortiz. So we're looking at, you know, a star-laden card for Golden Boy. I'm not sure necessarily about the matchup. Sounds like, you know, if Victor Ortiz goes against Vivian Harris, it's going to be maybe a one-sided, you know, event. But maybe. Still, you know, yeah. I wanted to be nice.
You'll get to see Victor.
Yeah.
And his lovely smile.
Hey, whoa. But anyway, so those are the things I've heard. Gym-wise, Carlos Molina's in the gym. Luis and Ronnie Rios, Luis Ramos are in the gym. Manny Quezada's being trained by Roberto Garcia. Roberto Garcia just texted me the other day, confirmed that he wanted to do certain things with my company. But he also confirmed that he is definitely training Manny for this fight, and he's willing to go to war with these guys and with Ariel, and I'm actually now kind of looking forward to seeing what happens.
And we're supposed to have Manny Quezada and Chris on next week as well. I'm really interested in speaking to both of them, being that they're going to have on their – oh, I'm sorry, not next week. The week before they get in the ring.
Good.
So so my bad there. And but, you know, really, really quick, man, I do want to stay, and I stand really firm on this. You know, a lot of these pay-per-view cards that are being made, you know, I got to go with the guys in the chat room and, you know, fight fans that email me, you know, talking about these. I got to agree with them. A lot of these cards that are being put on pay-per-view are just shit cards, man. You know, and Manny Pacquiao. You know, I'm sorry. You know, but Manny Pacquiao and Margarito, I'm sorry. I don't know. You better stack up that card pretty deep in order for me to pay for it. I'm not looking too much into it. I don't care for it. I want to see something else. I wanted to see that fight.
Gomez Castillo 2. This time it's personal.
Oh, this, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Gomez is a good friend of mine, you know.
This time we're getting paid more.
You know, yeah. No, this time I bring my hybrid band behind me.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just
Alfonso. You know, I love you, bro. You know my boy and stuff, man. Don't be calling in like Omar Henry and all that. Check us and everything.
Oh, Omar on me. Yeah, it just feels right now like there's a period of recycling that's happening. That I'm not crazy about. Maybe that's always happened.
It's shitty cards. You know,
yeah.
I mean, stack them up, fantastic. Keep stacking them. You know, I'm not too upset about the Marquez thing, but it's on pay per view. That's the only thing. It's pay-per-view. You could have done it, you know, a little bit different. I don't know. I mean,
think about it. If it was World Championship Boxing, you know, Marquez versus Diaz, undercard Jacobs Pirog, that's a really good night at the fights. And that's a night that everybody can get around and not look at the other two and go, really, are you going to make us basically pay, you know, half of the pay-per-view for these two fights? I think that's what people have a problem with. But if you don't like it, don't buy it, you know.
And you're getting two perspectives here, you know, guys, you know, listening to the radio show. You're getting a couple guys that are involved with the industry, so we kind of understand
Ooh.
Where certain things are kind of happening around, you know, doing this, blah, blah, blah. But then I'm giving you the honest truth, you know. I'm giving you the honest thing. I really am not too happy about it. I just kind of think they're kind of shitty, and it's just a repeated thing of just pretty much whipping it out and slapping it in our face.
Somebody just said told me to lay off Margarito's nuts in the chat room. And I got to say, I haven't really said anything about whether or not I want to see that fight or not.
Yeah, I'm on the nuts. Leave it alone.
Yeah, Ernie's on the nuts. I'm actually the one that Margarito's mother is actually really mad at me for asking him hard questions. So back the fuck off.
She still is mad at you.
Yeah, apparently she still is very angry with me. And no flatas for me. but, you know, to me, it's another one of those things where I'm on the fence about it. You know, from a pure boxing standpoint, I think Pacquiao versus Margarito could actually be a good fight.
I don't think so.
Well, you factor in the weight. You know, Margarito's not the greatest at 154.
But
I think
he's
the holding.
Slowest. I mean, that's the only thing that I see is that he's so slow. And the way Manny's been looking, I don't know, man. To me, honestly, you know what? If we would have talked about this a year or 2 years ago, I would say, hey, this is a really tough matchup for Manny. But I kind of see, you know, Margo just walking into a lot of shots and taking them. And you know what? Being drained to 147, which I don't think he belongs anymore. I think he needs
No, they're going to fight like 150, 151.
Okay, 150, 151. I still have to give it to the lighter foot guy with the faster hand speed. And being in a southpaw stance, I just see Margo, you know. But then again, it all depends on the ring size.
You know, and you can also kind of see how it, on one hand, from a boxing styles thing, it could be a good fight. On the other hand, from a boxing purist point of view, or somebody that believes in reform, it's kind of the worst kind of possible fight you could have. A guy that people, you know, that he turned down random drug testing all the way up to the fight, didn't take a stand where Mayweather would. Another guy accused of cheating, they're going to put it on pay-per-view in another country because one guy can't get licensed, and then they're going to fight for a vacant WBC belt. I could see how people are upset about this fight.
Yeah. There you go.
When you put it like that,
you made my stand a lot more stiffer.
hey, let's not get into that talk here.
Throw out the fight news really quick. I mean, a fight schedule. What's going on? What's happening for tonight? Tomorrow, which I'm going to be in Lemoore, California. That's always a nice little drive out there for the ESPN card. And what's happening Saturday? What should we look forward to?
Okay. I'm sorry. Actually, Saturday you got nothing to look forward to. Thursday, happening right now on Fox Sports, you've got at the Nokia Theater in Los Angeles, California, Jose Navarro taking on Juan Beltran, Nestor Rocha against Benji Garcia. And help me out, guys, here. Gary Russell Jr. is in the main event.
Navarro was pulled from the card. I think the opponent had a problem. That's why they pushed Gary Russell to the main event.
Okay.
What they wanted to try to do was pit Rocha and Navarro sometime down the road. That's why they pitted them together on the same card. It's actually streaming now on Ring TV if you want to check it out.
I'm checking it out.
Yeah, it's also on Golden Boy's Facebook as well.
RingTV.com.
Really?
Yeah, if you're following me on Twitter, you can catch the link there. Thank you for clearing that up for me, Ernie. I pulled this off boxing schedule, and clearly it's wrong. At the Tachi Palace Casino in Lemoore, California on ESPN2, this is Friday Night Fights. You have Bebe Shumanov versus Vyacheslav Uzelkov.
I'm glad you're doing this.
I know.
22-0 with 14 KOs. It's going to be a tough fight. I'm actually picking Uzelkov.
And if anybody wants to go meet Dave, leave it in the ring.
I'll be there. I will be there. And I'll be tweeting out the rounds, you know, round by rounds on the Twitter or leave it in a ring count. And, you know, if you're in the need of having a brewski, yo, I'm your man.
I'm going to butcher the hell out of this next one. In support is Rico Ramos taking on Cuauhtemoc Vargas. Yeah, I totally.
Oh, no, it's never mind.
Summon your inner Aztec and say that name. Dallas Vargas versus my all-time favorite name now next to Turdsack Jandang is Gayrat Amadov. Sean Estrada versus Alex Armenta.
Amadog. Oh, that's terrible.
It's not as bad as Turdsack Jandang. I don't know.
Turdsack Jandang is all time.
Gay rag, I'm a dog. Come on, that's pretty bad. Gay rag, I'm a dog.
If he had the nickname Sugar Poo, they'd be screwed. at the Pechanga Casino in Temecula, California, that same night. Telefatura, Craig, I've Hit the Ceiling McEwen against Danny Perez. And on the undercard is Charles Huerta taking on Jonathan Arias in a really good fight, I think.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Jonathan Arias at one time was a pretty highly titled prospect, was 15-0, had some tough times. I've actually had the pleasure of seeing his fight, several of his fights. Guy always comes and brings it, and Charles knows that this guy's going to come forward and he's going to bring it, and Charles is willing and expecting a good fight. It's his first fight since the hand injury, so hopefully, one of those guys that we've had on Leave It in the Ring as far as the prospect show, so we wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely,
Saturday night is slim pickings. There's nothing going on TV, but maybe there'll be some. If you go on Sobcast or something like that, you should be able to track something down, or Beetle.com. You've got in Campeche, Mexico, you've got Johnny Gonzalez versus Aristides Perez, Oscar Ibarra versus Carlos Melo, Didier Basulto versus Uriel Garcia. Yeah, I don't know what any of those guys are either. Johnny Gonzalez.
I know Johnny.
Yeah, I know Johnny. He's a nice guy. At the Pageant in St. Louis, Missouri, you've got DeAndre Lattimore, another guy that's kind of a road warrior, a good fighter when he's right. Against Willie Lee. It's, battle of a 20-3 versus 17-6. But if you're in St. Louis, Missouri, I imagine there's not a lot going on other than baseball right now. And then underneath that, there's really nobody you've heard of. In El Foro, Tijuana, we talked about this card already. Antonio Lozado taking on Hugo Hernandez, David Lamora versus Elvis Garcia, and Marvin Quintero versus Orlan Padilla.
Quintero fell off a little bit, huh?
Yeah, big time. Like, fast, too. Yeah. And dude is on the undercard in Tijuana.
Don't lose under Gary Shaw, man.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, seriously. Well, then,
Go to Hollywood. Redeem yourself.
Get a Twitter account.
Start talking to Lindsay. Absolutely. You start calling him Molo. He's going to hang out with
Molo.
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 In Los Mochis, Mexico, finally, we've got Omar Chavez against Jose Lopez. And then John Riel Casimero versus Ramon Jarrales. It's a 14-0 versus a 12-1-1, as opposed to the Chavez-Lopez fight, which is a 22-0-1 versus 7-9-2. I wonder if he's going to win that fight.
Well, I'll give Omar credit. He's staying busy, though.
Absolutely.
I mean, the businessman is staying busy.
There's one last one, actually. July 25th, Sunday. You can catch this probably on Sobcast, where you can get Japanese feeds. At the Prefectural Gymnasium in Osaka, Japan, you've got the Kameda brothers. Koki Kameda, 22-1, taking on Cecilio Santos, 22-14-3. For the Ring Magazine number one flyweight versus unranked. Mm. And then Daiki Kameda versus Rosendo Vega, 16-2 versus 16-5. That's a little closer. For the Ring Magazine number three flyweight versus unranked. So that is your weekend fight report.
There's your weekend fight report. So make sure you mark that on your calendar. And we did have some telepress conferences that we did put on Leave It in the Ring website. So if you want to hear the audio and read a little bit what the quotes were, we had the Devon Alexander. That kind of got heated up.
Peep that one. Peep that one.
That was good. It's a little long, though. 2 hours. But, you can fast forward and stuff and hear what Glenn Johnson and Clouds had to say, and Devon Alexander's manager and the translator, that was representing the Ukrainian fighter. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. And then we also put up the Rocky Juarez and Lenares. They had their press conference today, and they talked a little bit, chopped it up about their upcoming fight, the Crossroads. So you can go to Leave It in the Ring and check that out. Check that all out. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Leave It in the Ring Boxing, all capital letters. And if you want to send in your question, go ahead and leaveitintheRing@gmail.com. Or you're like, hey, I would like to hear this guy on the show. We're always up to hearing somebody else's one more thing. Okay, go ahead. We always like to hear who else would you guys like that you guys would want to have on the show. Go ahead, Gabe.
Well, there's going to be a media workout for Marquez and Gomez at the Fortune Gym.
Actually
not open to the public, but also in downtown L.A., they're going to be doing Juan Manuel Marquez is going to be coming into town. Frankie Gomez is going to be there. I'm trying to pull up the press release for it. But it's going to be this Sunday, I believe at like 1 o'clock.
Yeah, at Alvera Street, the Plaza.
Yeah. Old Mexico.
Plaza Vito.
Yeah, here it is. I've got it now. No, I don't. He's arriving at the airport, and then there's a fan rally at Placita Olvera.
Yeah, he's going to be at the Tom Bradley Terminal at 5:30 is going to be the entrance on Saturday, and then Sunday he's going to be at Olvera Street.
Thank you, Ernie.
There you go, my fans. So if you want to go and hold up your signs that said, give us better cards, go right ahead. These are your boys from Leave It in the Ring. Catch you guys next week, Thursday at 5 o'clock, same time. And like always, it's always a pleasure. I'm your host.
Have a great week, everybody.
You have Gabriel Montoya and Ernesto Gabillon and Justin Streichart, who didn't make it to the show today, but that's okay. He'll be back. Anyways, you guys have a great, great weekend of fights. And if you see me on ESPN, give me a shout out. Late.
Late.
Late.